We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The potting shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Lou Milliano. The Esperanza Fire in Southern California burning wild for 2 days now, and Valerie McAdam has the mind-numbing numbers.
We have 25,000 acres. It's 5% contained. We have previously lost 10 structures. At this time, we currently have 500 residential structures threatened.
Okay, annex reporter Ron Kilgore says the wind is still the problem.
Here on the western edge, which is the southwest edge of the entire fire, this community is up into the mountainous areas, and so they're trying to keep it away from those areas as well. But the wind is whipping all different directions right now, and this is becoming the major problem for them. So they're having to put engines at almost every house.
The fast-moving fire has burned 38 square miles of Southern California. Seeking to resolve some high-profile bickering over what happens next in Iraq, the U.S. ambassador and Iraq's prime minister have issued a joint statement affirming a commitment to peace and security in Iraq. Over the past few hours, CBS News correspondent Ken McCormick says that's hardly been the rule.
In Baghdad, in the past several hours, operations have been underway in Sadr City to locate a soldier abducted on Monday, a linguist of Iraqi descent who was taken by gunmen during a visit to his relatives. There have also been gun battles in central Baghdad, although it's not clear if that's related.
McCormick says 97 American troops have been killed this month, with another death reported today in Diyala province. Game 5 of the World Series. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman is there in St. Louis.
Here outside Busch Stadium, some of the Cardinal fans are preparing to celebrate even before the game.
Tonight. World Championship tonight.
Inside the stadium, St. Louis manager Tony La Russa may not sound excited, but he says he is.
Part of the fun is being excited. You know, I'm not trying to, or our club is not trying to be cool.
If the Cardinals win, they will capture their first World Series championship since 1982. If the Tigers win, it's back to Detroit for Game 6. Steve Futterman, CBS News at Busch Stadium in St. Louis.
North Carolina, Durham's district attorney says he still hasn't interviewed a woman who accuses three Duke lacrosse players of raping her. Mike Nifong said in court today that he's talked to the woman about how she's doing, but not about specific details of the case. Outside the court,
Mr. Nifong did admit that he, in fact, has basically never talked to this woman and has absolutely no idea what her story is, and yet he has chosen to continue to go forward with this case.
Defense attorney Joseph Cheshire is scratching his head. However, Nifong defends himself.
I think things are proceeding about the way that we expected they would.
A negative day in trading today, what with Commerce Department reporting the economy grew at the slowest pace in more than 3 years. The Dow closed off the day at 73, down 73. The Nasdaq was down 28. This is CBS News.
You, playing Texas Hold'em with Mozart, fairies, kings, queens, albino aardvarks, karaoke singing koalas, the Sun City kickball team, wearing flippers, Sasquatch and Nessie holding hands at sunset in the Grand Canyon. Dreams, they can be strange and magical. But if you can't sleep, you can't dream. So ask your doctor about Rosarum, a sleep aid like no other. Approved for adults having trouble falling asleep. Rosarum is the first and only prescription sleep aid that in clinical studies shows no potential for abuse or dependence. So you can get to sleep. And maybe your dreams will get to see you again.
Don't take Rosarum if you're taking Luvox, Fluvoxamine, or have severe liver problems. Avoid taking it with alcohol. Don't drive or operate machinery until you know how you'll react to Rosarum. Rosarum may affect certain hormones. Consult your doctor about how this may affect you, or if you're insomnia doesn't improve. Take Rosarum right before bed. Side effects may include drowsiness, fatigue, and dizziness. Individual results may vary. Ask your doctor today if Rosarum is right for you. For more information, call 1-877-ROSARUM-1. See our ad in Prevention Magazine or visit Rosarum.com.
Swimming babies, dancing babies, singing babies.
It was horrific when discovered, a family of four gunned down on the Florida Turnpike. Now, CBS News correspondent Peter King says there was more there than met the eye.
It's no longer considered a random act.
This was a deliberate act of premeditated murder.
And there is a probable motive.
Drugs, money, or both.
St. Lucie County Sheriff Ken Mascara says police have arrested four persons of interest on drug charges. An affidavit says evidence found in the suspect's home connects them to victim Jose Escobedo, believed to have been involved in cocaine trafficking. He says one of the four may have fired the shots that killed Escobedo, his wife, and two young sons. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
California Dennis is missing. The Monterey Police Department is seeking help in locating the statue of the Menace. The bronze statue was stolen from the Dennis the Menace playground sometime over the last 24 hours. The playground was opened in 1956 with equipment designed by the late cartoonist Hank Ketchum and sculptor Arch Garner. I'm Lou Meliano, CBS News.
Somewhere between what a person is saying and what they're not saying, between what a person wants and what they need, lies understanding. For every client, everywhere, UBS has the distinct ability to listen, but more importantly, the commitment to understand. UBS, leader in wealth management, global asset management, and investment banking, and committed to a relationship we call you and us. Member SIPC.
Some people think all insurance is the same. They buy the least expensive they can find, and then they have an insurance claim. That's when they learn the hard way that not all insurance companies treat you the same. If being treated fairly and paid quickly are important to you when you or your business has a loss, you want Chubb. When you insure with Chubb, you're buying real insurance. So insure with the best. Insure with Chubb. To learn more, go to Chubb.com.
It's me. Welcome to a Friday edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B., live, unscripted, unrehearsed, from the left coast. And we got a lot to talk about, a great lineup for you today. We'll kick it off with our man Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com. Election protection, as much as we can muster, with just 11 days remaining. Also on today's program, Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans affairs. We're going to talk with Tom Engelhart, a journalist who writes a great blog, TomDispatch.com. And we're going to talk about the nuanced language of the Bush administration. Staying the course? Oh, no. That we never said that.
This ain't no technological breakdown. Oh, no. This is the road.
And coming up next hour, Jeff Cohen, a media critic who is one of the founders of FAIR, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. He's got a powerful new book out called Cable News Confidential, and he'll tell the inside story of the work he did as a producer on the late, great Phil Donahue Show on MSNBC and some other adventures he's had in the cable universe. And in our final hour today, we give you a replay of a great interview from earlier this week with Professor George Lakoff, the linguistics professor from the University of California at Berkeley. And the reason for the repeat is that yours truly is going to duck out an hour early today so that I can go offer some comments to the Federal Communications Commission. They're holding a hearing in the San Francisco Bay Area this evening, this afternoon. Soliciting comments on the proposal to let corporate media get even bigger. And I will be there as one of the voices saying, no! No! Stop! You've done enough damage already. And Brad Friedman joins us now from BradBlog.com. I wanted a little advice, Brad. I'm going before these members of the Federal Communications Commission. And do you think if I used some spicy language, you know, the stuff that we're not allowed to use on radio and TV, that it might actually get their attention?
Well, that's what I was wondering, actually, if you were actually testifying or if they were calling you in because you're in trouble for the obscene show you put on every day from 3 to 6.
Oh, no, they didn't subpoena me. I'm appearing voluntarily.
So they haven't noticed exactly what it is that you're up to?
No, that white van is from the Homeland Security Department, and we know they don't talk to the FCC.
Oh, okay, good. Well, boy, I'm glad you're doing that, and I hope you'll hold their feet to the fire, and then I'm sure they won't listen, and they'll do whatever they want anyway.
Well, FCC handles salacious, and DHS handles seditious.
Okay.
And I'm probably guilty on both counts. We did have a guest a week and a half ago who unloaded the bull bleep word in full color.
Uh-huh.
And so far, nobody's knocked on my door to pursue that issue.
And yet you're telling everyone about it now.
That was poor judgment. I feel like Dick Cheney in the waterboarding story.
Yeah, good thinking, Colin.
Well, Brad, you're in the Bradmobile on your way up the Ventura Highway to Santa Barbara.
I am indeed. We're on the roll here about 70 miles an hour, so my apologies if things drop in or out. Going to speak tonight at the Jefferson Jackson Dinner in Santa Barbara, along with Congresswoman Lois Capps and General Wes Clark.
Oh, nice.
So it should be a good lineup. I'm told it's a sold-out event, some 450 folks, I think. So it should be good if I get there in time.
Well, I hope you do. And you keep really Tony company. Just last Friday, I saw you on a panel with Tom Hartman and a few other great folks.
Well, yes, I suppose I do. Not on purpose, but, hey, you know, have case to make, will travel. So
yeah.
If they want me, I'm always happy to make noise about it.
Hey, Brad, last night I got a chance to preview Hacking Democracy, this powerful new documentary that will debut on HBO starting next Thursday and playing all the way through repeats through Election Day. And
yep.
It's a pretty impressive story. It profiles Bev Harris of Black Box Voting.
Yeah, it's. I thought it was a remarkable film. I'll have written a feature article, Computer World, on the film that I think will be coming out on Monday if they work quickly.
Yeah.
But it's really a remarkable film. It's a detective story, really. And I'll tell you, even though I knew and you may have already known much of what was in that film, seeing it with one's own eyes for the first time, for example, that infamous Hursty hack down there in Leon County, Florida last December, actually seeing it, I got to tell you, it was rather unsettling. I mean, it really put a knot in my stomach watching this thing play out before our eyes. I thought it was rather disturbing, and I don't know if that's going to be good for folks for HBO, if that's the message they want to let people know, but I got to call it as I see it. It really was disturbing and, frankly, quite moving at the end. Don't want to give too much away, but when things are revealed and the way the activists and the investigators react to what they see for the first time with their own eyes, I think is quite remarkable and moving.
It's also a nice validation of Ion Sancho, whom you and I have talked with on many occasions, a real fighter for election integrity, and he's right in the middle of it. He has to deal with these vendors of machines, and he cries out for help, saying, don't leave us at the mercy of three vendors, none of whom inspires any confidence.
Yeah, if you don't know who Ion Sancho is, I mean, you'll see, watch this film. I mean, he is an absolute hero, and frankly, if people are familiar with his history, he is really a legendary election director now. So respected is he in the state of Florida that he was chosen to oversee the entire recount down there in the year 2000. And then I believe it was in 2002, he was, I think, the first election director in the country to have ever had a perfect election, meaning no spoiled ballots, no overvotes. This guy is the real deal. And, of course, after this Hursty hack that he, let these folks look at, Black Box Voting, come in and try to do, he was attacked mercilessly by the state of Florida and the goons from Jeb Bush's office.
Well, and just a little side note, Ion Sancho told me on the radio one day when I asked him about Harry Hursty, the hacker from Scandinavia, the fact that Bruce McPherson, the Secretary of State here in California, had claimed that they had asked Harry Hursty to come to California to do a similar number on an electronic voting machine. And they said, gosh, we couldn't reach him. And Ion said, that's because he was here with me that day.
Yeah, it was real hard to reach. And I'll tell you, when they did put together a proposal for Hursty to come out and try the test out here, and the entire thing was a setup. And in fact, the document, which was, I believe, sent to Hursty, it was on Bruce McPherson's stationery, sent from his office. But then when we looked at the Black Box Voting, it was Bev Harris again, looked at the properties for that document. It was a Word document, and what do you know? It was written by a Diebold employee by the name of Rob Pelletier. He's a disinformation guy who's posted at BradBlog before. He works for Diebold, and he's actually working out of the Secretary of State's office in the state of California. An absolute scandal. That's the kind of guy you're dealing with Bruce McPherson. And, you know, I'll use this opportunity to underscore how important it is to get this guy the hell out of office, get Deborah Bowen into office so that we can try to restore some semblance of accuracy and transparency to our election system here in California.
Brad Friedman with us from BradBlog.com. Now, Brad, I want you in a moment to identify the credibility of the source I'm about to cite, but I found it interesting this week that the Washington Post published an article. Headline reads, "Report warns of potential voting problems in 10 states." It cautions the elections promise to bring more of what voters have come to expect, a divided body politic, an election system in flux, and the possibility of problems at polls nationwide. And now I'd like you to tell us about the credibility of this organization, electionline.org.
Well, you know, they've been one of these strange organizations. They seem to be quite closely tied with the voting machine companies. They claim to be independent. They did actually a pretty good report on what happened up there in Ohio, the disaster they had in their primary elections a few months ago. But I have found them to be of dubious credibility. That said, what's notable here is in their annual report that you're referencing, the situation around the country is so bad that even they couldn't do much of a job to mitigate it.
Yeah.
Even they ended up, you know, having to admit that we've got a serious crisis on our hands. And so I think that's, you know, worth noting. You know, however, the report says that those states like Georgia, where there is absolutely not even a paper trail, much less a paper ballot on their touchscreen machines, that they are not one of the worst states in the country. Well, they are. But the saying so, I believe, would have gone right against their, right against the folks in Diebold, and they have been, walking on eggshells, at Election Line when it comes to criticizing the vendors, as they should be.
So if they publish a report saying problems in at least 10 states, that's probably understated, but I give the Washington Post a little bit of credit for reporting these issues and letting some people find out about the nature of the problem.
Well, Washington Post has actually been quite good of late on these stories, ever since the, really since the meltdown that Maryland had in their primary election a few weeks back. All of a sudden, the Washington Post has finally taken notice of this and done not only some pretty good reporting, but some pretty good investigating. They had a story yesterday, I believe it was yesterday, outlining what had happened in 2005 in Maryland in secret when some 4,100 Diebold touchscreen machines had their entire system boards, their motherboards, replaced in secret.
Mm-hmm.
And no one was ever told about it other than Diebold and apparently the election director out there, Linda Lamone, who as of this conversation, I believe, still has a job, which is remarkable in and of itself. And by the way, she's a Democrat, and she ought to be, she ought to be out of a job for the apologist work she's done for Diebold out there.
Brad, we got to take a break. We'll return in just a moment.
Okay.
Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com. He's on the road, and we're on the air here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Paid for by Jeff Denham for State Senate.
Hey, honey, you know about our Senator Jeff Denham?
Oh, yeah. He's an almond grower and owns a produce container business.
He sure makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Look here. Jeff Denham authored Jessica's Law legislation requiring satellite tracking of convicted sex predators.
Well, Denham also wrote a bill increasing flood protection, fought against the tractor tax, and he strongly opposes government taking our private property to build housing developments.
Did you see this?
No, what?
Senator Denham received the California Teachers' highest award for opposing education funding cuts.
Wow.
And I really liked his vote prohibiting smoking when small children are riding in a car seat.
The thing is about Denham, he knows what it means to work the land. He's fighting to protect our water rights and preserve our farmland for future generations.
You know what else about Jeff Denham?
What?
He doesn't ask whether it's a Democrat or a Republican idea.
That's right. He only asks, is it the right thing to do?
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, Ronnie Bramer, owner of New Horizon Real Estate Group in St. Petersburg, Florida, returns to talk about some great investment opportunities in Florida and Louisville, Kentucky. Call him at 727-827-0154 for more info. And don't forget, this is the last weekend for our Rock and Relax giveaway, where someone will be going to see the Rolling Stones at the Oakland Coliseum November 5th and a weekend for two at the Seascape Resort on Monterey Bay. That's this Sunday morning at 10 on Rock Roller Real Estate.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey has everything you need from high-end liquor to the very best in fine wines. It's the real deal. Family-owned for over 40 years, John will give you one-on-one personal attention, just like family. Have a special request? Not a problem. Open every day from 9 to 9. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is located on Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village, near the Del Monte Center. Look for Doug Huckleberry, who greets you at the door. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits wants you to please drink responsibly.
Got a new tune here in our election protection file. It's called They Lost My Vote.
Tuesday in November, I took that stroll to cast my ballot at the local poll. The lines were long, but I didn't care. I had water, a hat, and my folding chair. Walked up to the booth, didn't say a word. Sure that my voice would be heard. I hit that button, my vote was sent. Now nobody knows exactly where it went. They lost my vote. It isn't fair.
They lost my vote. That's a Florida folk rocker named Ellen Buxtell, and we got to blame Brad for that one. Hey, Brad, it's a great tune, and we actually had Ellen Buxtell and her writing partner, Nancy Wurzberger, on the program yesterday. And I enjoy the song. It's got a great message, and they're real dedicated activists who understand the problem.
For having her and for helping to make noise. I love that tune too, actually.
Yeah.
I sent you Bye Bye Blackwell. We'll have to use that at some point.
Yeah, maybe we'll get that on next week.
Okay, good.
Also, I want to mention that we got word that tomorrow, Saturday, there is a rally in Santa Cruz on behalf of Prop 89. That's the Clean Money Ballot Initiative on the ballot just 11 days from now. It's at 10 a.m. at the courthouse steps in Santa Cruz, and I encourage you to support Prop 89. And if you're in the People's Republic of Santa Cruz, go ahead and put your Birkenstocks on and roll over there. 10 o'clock tomorrow at the Santa Cruz courthouse. Dave joins us from Humboldt. Hi, Dave. You're on the air.
Hey, if this country can be saved, you two guys are going to have a big part to play in it. I have no question they're going to try to cheat us again, though, next week, 2 weeks, what, 10 days. But two quick questions, Brad. One, are there places, states, counties, precincts, where they have banned these machines, and can those counts be kept separate if there is? And one more thing, can we tell every good candidate running for office, do not concede. Be a very, very bad loser. demand recounts manually of every absentee ballot, for one thing. I would say that they should insist on that.
Well, and I would say that you and others should insist on the candidates that they're supporting doing exactly that, making a pledge to not concede until every vote is counted. Democrat, Republican, Green, Libertarian, Independent, I don't care. Every vote ought to be that precious. And I would suggest, I'm going to talk about this tonight, I think, at the Jefferson Jackson dinner in Santa Barbara, that, candidates need to do exactly that. And if they do, I believe they'll reach out across the aisle, across all parties, because I think the people actually get it, including Republicans and real conservatives out there. Understand this issue of electoral integrity, and I think all candidates would benefit from making such a statement. On the other issue, as far as places where these infernal machines have been banned, we had a situation down in New Mexico where they have banned touchscreen systems requiring a paper ballot for every vote cast. That was after they had a just disastrous numbers on Sequoia voting machines down there during the 2004 presidential election. And, some states are better than others with these. But overall, even when you have a paper ballot on an optical scan system, and that's what folks will see in this HBO film, Hacking Democracy, that we're talking about, it was a paper-based optical scan system that that was hacked and had its entire results flipped. So,
Oh, that's where we lost Brad. Let's see if we can get him back. I can take over there because I've seen the movie. What Harry Hursty, the hacker, did was program a memory card with some kind of a malicious code so that when votes were entered into the tabulator, that, in fact, they would come up according to a formula. The formula preserved the total universe of the vote count. And in the case in Hacking Democracy, in this test that Ion Sancho conducted, they used 8 votes. And so the total number of votes didn't change, but the distribution of those votes did change. And it was quite remarkable. So I think we got Brad back here. Brad, is that you?
Yeah, sorry about that. As I said, I'm on the roll. I'm glad we haven't lost contact before this.
Yeah, no problem. I finished the explanation there on the Hursty hack, and we've just got 1 minute remaining. I wanted to ask you about some ideas that Mark Crispin Miller has been sending out to his email groups, that in Maryland there appears to be a potential setup for an election crash or meltdown that could be blamed on Democrats. Talk about that for a minute.
Well, it's interesting, he makes that point. I try very hard not to speculate. So I don't want to suggest that, anyone is hoping for a meltdown. I would say, in Maryland in particular, as I mentioned, you do have the Democratic election director out there who has been terrible and who has been a very close friend to the folks at Diebold. And the head of the Democratic-based Senate out there, the House is better, but the Democratic Senate has also not been good on this issue. I'm not going to suggest that they're purposely trying to force a meltdown, because I don't know. I don't have any evidence of that. I think basically they're trying to save their careers and save their asses, because mm-hmm. they bought into this stuff, have spent $100 million or so,
yeah.
and to admit that they screwed up would appropriately cost them their jobs at
Got
this
it.
Point.
Brad, thanks a lot. Have a great evening. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks so much, Peter.
Brad Friedman.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hey, Sheila Gale here. Join me on Reality Radio, Saturday afternoons 4 to 5, and hear how local people deal with life on life's terms. You know, the roller coaster ride, up, down, always changing. On Reality Radio, we dive into the real stuff, living day to day, trying to find peace in this crazy world with the most interesting guests. Saturday, 4 to 5, Reality Radio, brought to you in part by Italica, with the finest Italian handbags and accessories on Alvarado Street, Monterey, across from Ordway, Italica.
Hello, this is Al Moore with More Imported Cars in Monterey. Automobile enthusiasts know that the world's finest vehicles are manufactured within sight of the Alps. They include our Mercedes, BMW, and Porsches. These are the marks of dreams, and they're the very automobiles that we specialize in at More Imported Cars. Located at 999 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey, right by Windows on the Bay. Stop by More Imported Cars and check out this week's special.
This week, all autos are on special at More Imports, which features luxury European cars for less than $20,000. This includes Mercedes-Benz, BMW, and Lexus. Remember, More Imports. Luxury cars for less than $20,000. Just in time for the holidays.
For more information, browse to moreimports.com. That's M-O-H-R. Or call us at 373-3131. That's 373-3131.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you have the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay area. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make Monterey and our region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
We at KRXA want to thank you for your support of our advertisers. Together, we're working as a community to help take America back. Keep thinking outside the box and call us with any ideas and comments anytime. Tell your friends about KRXA, and together we'll help change the direction of this great nation. Working as a team, we're making a difference, and it's needed now more than ever. I'm Sheila Gale. Thank you for listening to Progressive Talk, AM 540, KRXA.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Live from the left coast, we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. On this program, we make it a policy to invite people on who know more than I do. And one of them is Scott Dick. He served in the Marines, then jumped over to the Army, where he retired as a major. And he joins us just about every week on the program to update us on military and veterans affairs and offer his informed perspective. Scott, how are you today?
Doing great, Peter.
Nice to talk with you. I understand that there was a court ruling related to the very discussion that you and I had last week at this time with Mikey Weinstein, who was challenging the Air Force on religious freedom issues.
Yes, in a 16-page decision handed down by U.S. District Judge James A. Parker from Albuquerque, New Mexico, he ruled that they didn't have cause. Basically, without a personal link or connection to future misconduct, plaintiffs have simply not shown that they will suffer an injury. In fact, that is both concrete and particularized. So this legalese are saying they don't really have a case.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know the framing of this particular case. I know he has a son who is actively matriculating at the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs, but I don't know that if he used issues related to his son to bring this suit.
No, well, they're looked at as third party because they're graduates. They're not at the academy right now, and so if they couldn't specifically cite how they were harmed or and when, then he's saying that they don't have a case. Of course, they plan on appealing it.
Yeah. Well, that's disappointing because I think it's a very important issue, and whether there's a technicality there that'll be overcome or if Weinstein needs to refile. He certainly is a strong advocate on these issues, and I have a great deal of respect for him.
I do too, Peter. It makes perfect sense. I mean, we don't need this kind of conduct in a very diverse, religiously diverse military organization. It's a government organization. The chaplains are paid for, trained by the American taxpayer of all different religions, and this is just an egregious example of the conservative right and the religious right imposing themselves on the military. It drives me crazy.
And Scott, I can still hear in my memory the squeaky voice of the late, not-so-great Senator Strom Thurmond of South Carolina. During the early days of the Clinton administration, when there was the ugly debate over gays in the military, and Strom Thurmond kept relying on the phrase, unit cohesion. He said that if you have homosexuals in a unit, it's going to get in the way of cohesion. And to me, this is an issue that flies in the face of unit cohesion. If you try to impose religious orthodoxy, and it is only of a Christian variety, then unchurched people, non-believers, Muslims, Jews, and those of other faiths cannot be a cohesive part of a unit that uses religion as some sort of a unifying factor.
And while, Peter, that most commanders or most officers and rating officers won't approach this overtly, they'll do it covertly. They'll make certain phrases, use certain words and phrases, code words, if you will, in the ratings of those people that don't conform. And it's a way to basically remove them or give them lower points on their ratings because they're not conforming to the religious norm. That's the danger in this. That it's not a matter of just you have to stand in formation, listen to these guys drivel on. They have the power of the pen to ruin your career.
Yeah.
And also, there was an Air Force task force, of course, the Air Force investigating itself. You know how that goes. Concluded there was no overt religious discrimination at the school, but that some cadets and staff were insensitive. And in a step welcomed by conservative Christians, the Air Force in February released new guidelines for religious expression that dropped cautions to top officers about promoting their personal religious views. So talk about flip-flopping on an issue. And, of course, we know that the famous, Focus on the Family.
James Dobson.
James Dobson is based in Colorado Springs, and
right.
So is the Air Force Academy, so it doesn't take very much for his big old limo to pull up in the Air Force Academy grounds and put the arm on some people.
Yeah. Scott Dick is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you have a comment or a question you'd like to join us, lines are open at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Now, the double talk you just described about religion is almost inconsequential compared to the double talk we're getting from military and political leaders right now about whether or not there's a timeline or benchmarks or deadlines for U.S. participation in Iraq. And what has been what they've attempted to clarify, which has only added to the confusion in my view, is that Bush is ready to make a change. But they won't say what kind of change it will be or even what the range of options is to be considered. We have this Baker Commission that is working in the background. They claim they haven't written their report because they don't want it to be politicized by the election. But they have few options to enumerate as well. So aren't we playing a cynical game here, Scott, simply to buy time until after the election with American troops dying at the rate of 100 a month?
Absolutely, Peter. I had the misfortune of watching that Dribble Fest yesterday. And I'm wearing a neck brace right now because I kept getting, I got whiplash.
Really?
And it was the most amazing thing. These reporters were just asking simple questions like, what about the timelines? And, you know, I wish my library had those kinds of timelines, not deadlines, and benchmarks. So is my book due in 2 weeks? Is it due in 3 weeks? Well, yeah, it's due in 2 weeks. Well, what happens if I don't turn it in 2 weeks? Well, maybe nothing, but maybe something. But we're meeting every day to talk about it, and maybe we'll have you come back in 2 weeks and 1 day. But, you know, you're just trying to – it's a political season, and you're just trying to create problems and create a little daylight between what the librarian is saying and what I'm – you know, it's
well, and the milestones will include, you know, whether you tried to read the book, whether you spilled some yogurt on page 291.
Is it within walking distance? Or do you have to drive a car? And so, you know, it was totally ridiculous. And then he got really upset. Rumsfeld flipped his lid when they start talking about Casey. And I went back and looked at Casey's briefing. He said exactly what the reporter said. He said, we may have to put, you know, call in some more troops if it's that's what's required. I'll look at it as the build-up, the build grows. And he was talking about the Iraqis.
Well, now let's pause here for a second because this is one of the kind of circular finger-pointing exercises that has gone on repeatedly in the Bush administration. You ask Bush, do we need more troops in Iraq? When the generals ask him for that, he'll consider it. Then you talk to the generals, do we need more troops in Iraq? Well, I'm thinking about it, but I'm not asking for it. I'm thinking I might ask for it.
Because if I want to keep my job, I won't ask for it. So might be ready to become pensioned off. Has my tax-free pay paid for that, the second Mercedes? And do I have, everything, all my ducks in a row on my board, board memberships and all that? Do I have another job? No, not quite yet, so I'm not going to ask him for any more troops. I mean, that's cynical kind of thing where Abizaid and Casey, when I knew them, were honorable guys, they were hardworking guys, and this is just, everybody is so afraid of Rumsfeld, except for the guys who have retired, and of course, then immediately everybody jumps on the ones who retired, and it's just amazing. Yeah. But it is, it's circular. We're not going to ask for troops because we don't know if we need troops, and you know,
and then our puppet goes off message. Maliki comes out in a news conference yesterday and says, "Hold on a minute, nobody's going to give me any deadlines." Today he had to eat those words, and
but Peter, we're not sure
if that was at gunpoint or they just threatened his family.
But Peter, you know what Rumsfeld said? He said, "No, I don't know. Were you there? Did you interpret the interpretation correctly? Do you speak Iraqi? Did you understand what he said? Was all this political mischief to change his words?" And the reporters were like, "Huh?" So we don't know. Really, we know what Maliki said. That's what Rumsfeld said.
Well, and it was either something got lost in the translation or just sit down and shut up and quit pushing us.
Exactly.
those were Rumsfeld's choices yesterday.
He said, he didn't say give me a break. I forgot. It was a clever, back off.
Back off, right.
Back off.
Yeah, I'm supposed to back off.
And he's a smarmy, you know, the reporters are definitely cowed. There was a couple that kept asking questions, and he kept dancing around. He finally got heated, and he just wanted to say, stop trying to make mischief. You know, we're talking about it, and they're talking about us talking about it, and we're talking about it with them talking about it. And we might get deadlines or benchmarks, but we don't know if there's going to be. There's honorable people working on this. Back off.
Yeah.
It was pitiful. And with 100, close to 100, five more died Wednesday.
Right.
And and that leads me to my next deal, Peter, is that I've in the past talked about the misuse of the active duty and National Guard and Reserves.
Mm-hmm.
Now the Army is planning, they're so short. 40% of the active duty Army has not gone to Iraq or Afghanistan once.
Really?
So this has been burdened by 60%. Remember I told you that that 1-to-6 equation that takes six people to support one, you know, bullet launcher.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then we also have to look at the ratio of troops needed to kind of keep security in a chaotic situation. And I saw a piece on that in the New York Times today. And we clearly are under deployed in Iraq if we are serious about securing the unstable portions of that country.
Right, and I've mentioned that before. So people have asked me, like, why do you support the war? I don't, but if we're going to do this, we're going to keep troops in harm's way, we need to send another 100,000 troops there. So get this, they're going to move more soldiers from artillery and air defense artillery. Now, these are combat support roles. These are not combat roles, and they're going to move them to infantry, engineering, military, police, and intelligence, special forces, civil affairs, and psychological. And those are affairs, and those are all right now the most dangerous that they have going on in Afghanistan. And the Air Force, we know they're running convoys on the ground, and they're having airmen die. And along the Navy, it's not just medics. You know, they're embedded with the Marines that are dying in Iraq as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you and I have talked about this before. We have a lot of people, and this only extends the problem. We have sailors and airmen who are conducting foot patrols, you know, military police actions that they're not even trained or equipped for.
No, and what's just as bad is they're going to leave the Army $18 billion short, but they're going to increase the size of the Army, and at the same time, they're offering people in the Navy and the Air Force early outs and big, big bonuses if they go from blue to green. You know, that's from one service to another. And when I was in, that was just very unusual. I think I knew one person my entire career that had actually used that.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but our recruits are getting older, dumber, and fatter. So that we're making our recruiting goals.
Well, you can say that because you're young, smart, and skinny.
Well, we're bringing in a greater number of high school dropouts.
Yeah.
More people are scoring poorly on entrance exams, and you know that is not a difficult. It's not the SATs. We're bringing in more physically unfit recruits, so they start in recruit training unfit. The top age, you know, we've talked about this before, has been raised to 42. And now they're taking in troops with tattoos. I never understood that restriction anyway. If they're going to have tattoos on their hands and necks. So
what are the current rules on tattoos?
They couldn't show. You weren't allowed to come into the military.
I see. Okay, so if they're under your clothing, it's okay, but you can't in dress uniform. Tattoos cannot be showing.
And they changed that. Now they're going to take them in with hands and necks. So there's no way with the current uniforms, if you wear the uniform properly, that you can cover up one that's high on your neck or mm-hmm. on the back of your hand.
Well, I don't know about you, but many of the guys I've seen with tattoos on the neck got them in prison. So maybe it's not just about the tattoos. Scott, we're going to take a break and continue. Scott Digg is with us. We're talking military and veterans issues. If you have a question or you want to add something to this conversation, give us a call right now. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
I am Juan Escamilla, hands-on owner of Wilson's Tire and Service and candidate for Cabrillo College Board of Trustees, District 6. Cabrillo College is an excellent community college. Let's make it even better by adding state-of-the-art vocational training for our entire community. That's why I'm asking for your vote on November 7th. I am Juan Escamilla, candidate for Cabrillo College Board of Trustees, District 6, and I would appreciate your vote.
Hard work with straight talk. Escamilla for Cabrillo College Trustee, District 6.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's the back looking? Something up with me.
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you could strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540. Down in
continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Peter B., your humble host, and we're talking with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans affairs. Got a question or a comment? There's still room for your call. 888-5-PETER-B, toll free, 888-573-8372. Scott, I want to take a minute or two here to update you and others on kind of a stream of emails that we have shared over the last few months regarding our intelligence on the administration's intentions toward Iran. And the source, as usual, is a retired Air Force Colonel Sam Gardner, who has been very accurate in the information that he has brought forward. And I wanted to update it because when we last left it, there was the possibility that the Bush administration might launch some sort of attacks, missile or air attacks against Iran, even before our November election. And he wrote here, dated Thursday, yesterday, the 26th. He said, there's been quite a bit of speculation that the Eisenhower strike group was being sent to the Gulf to be part of an Iran attack. I don't think that's the case. The Enterprise group is completing its 6 months at sea. I think it's a routine swap out. We have no indications the mine countermeasure ships alerted for possible deployment have been deployed. That's an important indicator. The exercise inside the Gulf under the Nuclear Proliferation Initiative is fairly normal. The Marine presence inside the Gulf is small. From the deployment perspective, then, I see no indications of an immediate strike. My assessment would change if the Enterprise doesn't head back to the States. I'm also watching the Kitty Hawk group that has left its port in Japan for exercises. It's still in the Western Pacific. I track the strategic communications on Iran. For the past 3 weeks, Iran has fallen off the administration's issue list. Coverage is down 25%. I'm told by a reporter that guidance has been given to Ambassador Bolton at the UN to let others carry the water on Iran for now. A New York producer told me they have asked for an interview with Bolton on Iran but have been put off. My conclusion, there's a conscious effort not to talk about Iran for now. Okay, does this mean no military option? A friend in Helsinki suggested one way to know whether the lull was real or just a pause was to observe how Israel is reacting. Very wise. The answer is that Israeli officials are following the same pattern. This is particularly significant because the threat of Iran is an important part of Olmert's reason for being. If Israel thought the United States had backed away with the military option, I think we could be seeing indirect pressures. Just as an example, I've seen no serious Israeli official statement on Iran's second cascade. That's the second set of cyclotron. What are those called? Cyclotrons or somethingtrons. Anyway, So I wanted to pass that along because many people had been concerned that there might be some sort of action as early as this week under the new moon. But it does appear to have been postponed or canceled, and I'm one American who's pleased to hear that. Scott, you want to add anything to that?
Well, in my discussions with Dr. Bill Beeman, who's an expert in Iran and the Central Asia, that would be just a fatal mistake for the United States to attack Iran, because then it would, you know, the senior cleric in Iraq is also the senior cleric in Iran. That's al-Sistani. And I think some kind of secret attack or surprise attack on Iran, that would just blow the lid off of Iraq and then unite all the Shias across that border. And what if we can't, if we're not taking air assault artillery and air defense artillery troops, because we don't have enough troops now, what we would face then would just be horrific.
Yeah. Well, I
think it makes sense, Peter, is what I'm trying to say. It makes sense that it would be ridiculous, and maybe now they're starting to listen. And with Europe more online with this, because it makes more sense than attacking Iraq, then they have somebody to actually carry the water for them. Before they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Tony Snow said early this week, he said, we're not in the business of giving ultimatums.
Huh? Oh, how choice.
I thought that was too rich to just let go by.
Now, one of the other issues that you and I have been paying attention to is the prospect of long-term or permanent American bases inside Iraq. And this has been an interesting issue because there have been efforts by members of Congress, most recently Barbara Lee in the House, attached an amendment to the supplemental appropriation for Iraq, which explicitly says that Congress does not approve and, you know, has not funded a permanent American bases in Iraq. And we have further indications that there are long-term commitments. Talk a little bit about Balad.
Well, the idea that the Air Force is now going to build a permanent, I can't remember the euphemism they used last time, Peter.
Enduring.
Enduring. They're going to build an enduring hospital. Now, I understand working in tents. I spent many an hour, day, month working, doing staff work out of a tent. And a whole collection of tents, and they're temporary at best, and they're dirty and all that. But to actually build a hospital and build it quickly, they're obviously not using any government contractors for that because they want to have it online by next April. It seems like that permifies. Is that a word?
Permanizes.
Disregarding my hair, permifies. Yeah, something as useful and critical as an Air Force base. And then, you know, what's next after the hospital? An inn for VIPs?
Well, I don't know. But, you know, it's so confusing right now because you hear generals talk about plans to leave Iraq. And then you hear comments about, hey, 10 years from now, we're still going to be there. And it is election season. I realize that the confusion is somewhat intentional and is intended to, you know, in a desperate manner, try to permit the Republicans to hold on to power.
Right. It's very desperate. And, you know, in order to support our troops, there's a couple things that we as Americans can do and others have already done. One of them is send care packages full of stuff. The other one is to send knives to our troops. That's going on right now.
Knives?
Oh, yeah, they're getting knives in the mail. So, you know, combat knives to everybody. If they order from this company, they're getting donors to send them cool knives.
Now, why do people need us to send them knives? Is Rumsfeld not providing them?
Well, I don't know exactly, except it makes people here feel good. You know, if you're going to support the troops, send them knives, and they have a daily devotion, the religious sort of evangelical book, that now has a camouflage cover. So they're getting those and knives in the mail. That's the way to support our troops.
Really?
Yes. And our veterans are being encouraged to wear our medals on November Day to show our patriotism. And, you know, of course, the James Nicholson, who is the Secretary of the VA, retired from the Army Reserve, served in Vietnam, and he also was a former chairman of the Republican National Committee. And he says it's a way to help get Americans, you know, in to support our troops by wearing our medals publicly. I will not be wearing my medals. I can say I think it's a cynical attempt to manipulate public opinion. It's another photo op, basically, is what
yeah.
I'm saying.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Well, and again, you know, when you look at the posture of Bush and the two-step that they attempted this week, And you just go back 6 months to the way Democrats were vilified when John Kerry offered a resolution to set a certain date, a year and a half away, to extract American troops. And it led to, you know, cut and run, demonizing of Democrats. And, you know, now the Republicans are realizing and accepting that that was the right posture. And the Democrats were there ahead of the Republicans. So it's a catch-up game, and we're going to pay the price one way or the other. Scott Dick, thanks for joining us. Always a pleasure.
You're welcome, Peter.
That's Scott Dick here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up next, Tom Engelhart from TomDispatch.com. Right here. Want to visit my website? Go ahead, PeterBCollins.com. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The California wildfire rages on.
With four firefighters killed, this is a double crime, arson and murder.
The Bush administration tries to put out a fire.
Did the vice president endorse waterboarding for terror suspects? I'm Mark Knoller at the White House.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Flames fed by the dry Santa Ana wind have spread through the canyons about 90 miles east of Los Angeles. At least 10 structures, including homes, have been destroyed, 700 people forced to evacuate. And even as the battle rages, authorities are trying to find the arsonist blamed for the deaths of four firefighters. CBS News correspondent Bill Whitaker went to the source in Beaumont, California.
Sources close to the investigation tell us that this fire was started right here. Probably something as simple as a lighter to ignite dry grasses along the side of the road. And they tell us that when the arsonist picked this spot, he knew exactly what he was doing. Because it's like a wind tunnel here. Investigators say whoever set the fire knew the constant winds that power Palm Springs generators just down the road would fuel a wildfire. There have been more than 25 arson fires here in just the last few weeks.
A fifth firefighter is said to be in grave condition with burns over 90% of his body. Now this.
It's here at Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships. The Right Now Factory Authorized Service Event with special offers on tires, brakes, batteries, and more. Right now, buy four select Goodyear tires and get an iTunes gift card valued from $50 to $100 or an iPod Nano. Genuine parts and service at Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships. Hurry, it all ends soon. Call 1-877-310-3673 or see participating dealer for details through 11-30-06.
Walgreens has big news. They've teamed up with AARP with great new programs and offers for everyone 50 and over. To celebrate, AARP members who buy $10 worth of Walgreens brand items get a $10 gift card free. Not a member, but you love all that AARP has to offer? Walgreens has something for you, too. A free one-year membership, including their magazine, great benefits and programs. Offers end soon, but the benefits are just beginning. See Walgreens for details. Restrictions may apply.
The Bush administration claims Dick Cheney didn't say what many people thought he said. CBS News correspondent Mark Knoller has that.
Dominating the media juggernaut at the White House was whether Vice President Cheney had endorsed the use of waterboarding, simulated drowning, during CIA interrogations of terror suspects. Interviewed this week by WDAY Fargo, North Dakota, Cheney was asked if a dunk in the water for terror suspects is a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer for me, but I, for a while there, I was criticized as being the vice president for torture. Well, we don't torture.
But spokesman Tony Snow had to spend much of his briefings telling reporters borders, we got it wrong.
I know it's inviting to say the vice president confirms waterboarding. He's talking about waterboarding. Just, it's not there.
But the White House still won't say if it regards waterboarding as torture, and if not, is it used on terror suspects? Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
Questions about a possible rift between Washington and Baghdad prompted a rare joint statement today from U.S. Ambassador Khalilzad and Iraqi Prime Minister Maliki. They say Iraq accepts timelines for meeting goals and is committed to a good and strong relationship with the United States. CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick reports the American death toll this month is up to 97.
The U.S. military announced the death of a soldier in Diyala province due to enemy action. In Baghdad, in the past several hours, operations have been underway in Sadr City to locate a soldier abducted on Monday, a linguist of Iraqi descent who was taken by gunmen during a visit to his relatives. There have also been gun battles in central Baghdad, although it's not clear if that's related.
New York City police and the Secret Service are checking a report of a suspicious substance found at former President Bill Clinton's Harlem office. Mr. Clinton isn't there. It was 2 weeks ago today that a couple and their two young sons were found shot to death along Florida's Turnpike. Now, CBS News correspondent Peter King reports investigators believe they understand the crime.
It's no longer considered a random act.
This was a deliberate act of premeditated murder.
And there is a probable motive.
Drugs, money, or both.
St. Lucie County Sheriff Ken Mascara says police have arrested four persons of interest on drug charges. An affidavit says evidence found in the suspect's home connects them to victim Jose Escobedo, believed to have been involved in cocaine trafficking. He says one of the four may have fired the shots that killed Escobedo, his wife, and two young sons. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
In Tucson today, a former customs agent admitted he took a $50,000 bribe to let a motorhome carrying cocaine pass through his checkpoint. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Brace yourselves, because I'm going to bring up a subject nobody likes to think about, buying a used car. I know, painful. Well, I've got a painless solution. Honda Certified Used Cars. They're well-maintained late-model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then is backed with an incredible 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. They'll even provide a Carfax vehicle history report. Honda Certified Used Cars. It's the next best thing to new. See dealer for limited warranty details.
I'm back. I am the Ricola Mystery Cougher. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing natural Ricola cough drop, you could win $1 million. And this year, I'm also coming to one lucky listener's home. Register at RicolaUSA.com for clues and official rules. And remember,
I could be a woman.
No purchase necessary. Game open to legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game runs October 9th to November 18th.
Does anyone have a
Ricola?
Peter B. Collins Show is dedicated to a woman named River Bend. We'll explain.
Those who start wars, never fight them. And those who fight wars, they never like them. And those who write laws,
later this hour, we're going to talk with Jeff Cohen, one of the founders of Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting and the author of a powerful new book called Cable News Confidential. Also ahead, George Lakoff, professor of linguistics from the University of California at Berkeley, will be with us next hour. And joining me now is the proprietor of the website TomDispatch.com. He is Tom Englehart, who works in collaboration with the Nation Institute. And he's also published a book recently called Mission Unaccomplished. Tom Dispatch interviews with American iconoclasts and dissenters. Tom Englehart, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you, Peter.
We met a couple of years ago at UC Berkeley. Orville Schell at the Journalism School put together a conference on the media and the war in Iraq, and I remember talking to you then. Are you still at Berkeley?
I go out every spring and become an editor. I'm basically an editor in real life, you might say, and I become an editor to a group of journalism students, and so I'll be back.
So you're bi-coastal.
I'm bicoastal, that's right. I kind of parachute in for a month or so.
Uh-huh. Well, and I wanted to, first of all, thanks for joining us today, but I wanted to direct people to your website, tomdispatch.com. And there's a two-parter that you published this week, which I think is a powerful indictment of the Bush administration, but it's more than that. You offer a recitation of facts with a kind of analysis that I think is unique to your voice, and a fluid writing style that makes it pretty easy to absorb. So if people haven't found your work, you're all over the web, but your home base is at tomdispatch.com.
Thank you very much.
Now, talk a little bit about the issues of this week, because we're no longer staying the course. We don't know what course we're going to shift to. The president is open to changes in tactics, but not strategies. And they're all over the place. they cannot get on common message points, because we've heard Bush and Rumsfeld and our handpicked Prime Minister Maliki in Baghdad unable to sing the same song at the same time.
That's absolutely right. Bush has been, in essence, cutting and running from his famed stay the course policy. But the problem on that is that that stay the course and cutting and running are two parts of the same thing. And even though he stopped using the phrase staying the course on August 31st, they claim, because he continued to use cut and run, nobody noticed, because they're wedded, and he's wedded to that. So I think it almost doesn't matter. He's a little right now like Wile E. Coyote, kind of bobbing and weaving and running straight for a cliff. That's the way I think of it on Iraq anyway. And basically their long-term policy on Iraq is to make it to November 8th.
Mm-hmm.
That would be what I would say. I mean, if you look back at Iraq over the last few years, what you can see is that the basic problem they face is that the Bush administration managed to destroy the Iraqi economy, what part of it already hadn't gone in the years before. They managed to destroy the actual sovereignty of Iraq, that is the state. The state is in essence gone, and consequently, you now have a supposed government locked inside the fortified green zone in Baghdad that has no state, no sovereignty, no power, and of course we're putting pressure on them to do things that it's inconceivable that they'll do. And so you're locked in a very strange situation where they've created a strange trap for themselves, and now they literally don't know what to do, and they don't know what to do because they obviously don't really want to get out of Iraq. Otherwise, it would be obvious.
Well, and the cynical calculations that are underway right now, the president, on the one hand, is more visible than he's been overall throughout his terms in office. He came forward with a command of the facts that we were, at least I was a little surprised by. He knew how many Americans had died. He knew how many Iraqis have died, or at least some of the Iraqis who have died in recent weeks. And he was able to overcome his inhibitions of, you know, describing the true problems that we're facing a little bit. On the other hand, he's still way out there in denial land, offering platitudes and still talking about victory, when it's very clear, and most Americans know it, that there is not a victory within our grasp.
Yes, yes, victory is gone. But, you know, the strangest part of this to me in the last week was last December. These are people, their policy has been do not, because they went into Iraq thinking anti-Vietnam. They were going to do everything the opposite of what they considered to be the mistakes in Vietnam. And one of the small things they decided not to do, and the president confirmed this in the last day or two, is they decided not to do body counts. So even though they were, in fact, privately doing a fair amount of counting of all sorts of things, they refused to say how many enemy had died at any given moment. But last December, the president was confronted by a reporter at a press conference with the question, how many Iraqis, not just civilians, but overall, had died? And he gave, at that point, an incredibly lowball figure of 30,000. That was December 2005. Last week at his press conference, because this new Lancet study had come out, mm-hmm. showing that a scientific study that showing that somewhere probably between almost 400,000 and 900,000 plus Iraqis had died in the excess deaths that occurred in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
He was asked again about that figure of 30,000, and he said almost 11 bloody months later that he stood by it. This is one of the more absurd statements. I mean, even if the 30,000 figure was correct last December, which it wasn't, the idea that in the last 11 months nothing had happened, I mean, this is just, he was just picking, you know, this is the kind of public denial that he's in, along with mm-hmm. a kind of a private frustration and denial. And he's been talking to conservative journalists and radio people lately,
right.
And he's been expressing there a little more of his private frustration over what's going on.
I haven't gotten the invitation to join Sean Hannity and the gang there.
If only. Yeah, even Howard Kurtz of the Washington Post wasn't allowed in.
Now, Tom, talk about this 30,000 figure, because you mentioned in your Tom Dispatch, I think it was in part one, that this same figure has been used repeatedly.
Yes.
They just kind of pull it out of the, 30,000.
Yes, he used it when he picked it in December of 2005 as his figure, when they finally had to say a figure. He picked a figure that came from, I think anyway, we don't know the sourcing because they never agreed to tell us, but I think he picked a figure from a website called Iraq Body Count that has a very careful and conservative figure of deaths in Iraq. That is, it's a figure that all they count is the civilian deaths, not all deaths, but the civilian deaths that are reported in the press. And we now know that the press obviously doesn't report most of anything in Iraq because
they can't
get out.
Maliki has issued edicts that that his ministries will no longer report the death
right.
count to the United Nations.
Right. And we know now what happened was that there's still a pretty reasonable system for trying to, of morgues and so on and so forth for death certificates and the like. And the morgues had actually been issuing figures, which were devastating, on the bodies that they were getting, the bodies of people who had been basically tortured and killed, particularly in Baghdad, thousands and thousands of bodies over the course of just July and August. There were the Baghdad morgues and the hospitals in Baghdad reported 5,000-plus deaths. This is deaths by violence, by torture and execution, basically mostly death squad deaths. And this is why this is so crazy. You know, I mean, if you just take those 5,000, I mean, you know, it's already ridiculous to say that you stand by such a figure. Now, there are endless Iraqi deaths that are simply not reported. They can't be reported. The bodies don't get buried. They get dumped in the river. They get dumped in killing fields. Because Iraq is now an anarchic land. I mean, one of the great changes is that the Bush people always claimed that there was good news in Iraq. It just wasn't getting to the papers. And I think Americans now really do know that functionally there is no good news from Iraq. I mean, this is less bad for us than it is for the Iraqis. It's a nightmare for the Iraqis. One of the things that I wrote about in the second of the dispatches that you were mentioning is a young Iraqi woman. When she first came online with a blog called Baghdad Burning.
Mm-hmm.
She took the pseudonym Riverbend,
right.
And she began writing about her life. I mean, she was kind of trapped in her house. She had been typical of Iraqi women in that she had been working. She had been a computer programmer. She called herself a geek. She wrote beautiful English. She had lived abroad for a while. And she began writing this blog about how life was slowly, civilized life as we know it was slowly slipping away from Iraqis, certainly particularly middle-class Iraqis.
Let me stop you there because we have to take a break. And we'll talk more about Riverbend in a moment because I've read some of her blog entries, and I want to talk a little bit about how she went missing from the blogosphere for a while earlier this year.
Yes.
We'll continue in a moment with Tom Engelhardt. Visit his website, tomdispatch.com, and pick up his new book called Mission Unaccomplished. More in a moment. You can join us, too. 888-5-PETER-B. That's toll-free, 888-573-8255. I'm Peter B. Collins.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Hello. I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas and you should see it with all the lights. It's just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah. Christmas is fun. I mean, we start the kickoff with the, for the season, the first weekend in November with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreaths.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes. Schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1, heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake Elistero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
And a very pleasant good afternoon to you. Let's take a look at the latest. Well, no major stalls or accidents to report right now, especially on Highway 17. A little bit of slow traffic right now. Eastbound 25 slows out of Gilroy into Hollister. I'm also going to mention that eastbound 129, the reports of some slow traffic between Watsonville and Aromas. Let's take a look at northbound 101 and southbound 101. Little pockets of heavy traffic, moderate traffic in and out of Salinas. Also, northbound 101 slows at the San Miguel Canyon turnoff, so be advised there. And again, as we mentioned, no problems report over the summit coming on to southbound 17. Well, this report brought to you by JCPenney. Stop by the men's store inside JCPenney now through Sunday for great deals on Dockers apparel and accessories. It's all inside the men's store at JCPenney. See store for details. Sale ends Sunday, October 29th.
This traffic report has been paid for by Stephen Brady, hotel union member of Local Unite Here number 483, to encourage all listeners, their families, and friends to join the union boycott of Monterey Bay Travel Lodge until absentee owner Kelso Sue signs a fair contract for his workers. Power to the people.
On the Peter B. Collins Show.
Oh, Beats Don't Fail Me Now. That's the late, great Edwin Starr, 1970. We continue now with Tom Englehart. He writes at tomdispatch.com. And if you haven't been there, lock that into your favorites or your bookmarks, because he does great work and you should be aware of it. He also published a book called Mission Accomplished, Tom Dispatch Interviews with American Iconoclasts and Dissenters. And we've got a copy of the book on order, Tom, and when we get it, I'll actually read it, and then we'll interview you on the program and talk about some of the elements in there. I wanted to... give you a chance to tell us a little more about this remarkable woman, Riverbend, who has been blogging on and off from Baghdad, and particularly talk about the recent period when she stopped blogging and it caused you great concern.
Yes. You know, the one thing I was thinking about while I was waiting was that in many ways she should have been at that conference at the journalism school a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
That we both attended, because in fact she made herself into, from her house, the best war reporter around. She was the one. If you had read her, you would have known way ahead of Tom Ricks or anybody else what was going on. You would have known first about Abu Ghraib. You would have known first about the coming civil war and ethnic cleansing and so on and so forth. And she wrote pretty regularly. She would take time off, and sometimes she'd come back and she'd say, well, the electricity was gone, and it was just so hot, and we had a family crisis because a cousin got kidnapped, and you know, but she'd be gone for a couple of weeks. At one point she was gone for a month or so, and then on August 5th of this year, about her third year of blogging, she wrote an eerie, what seemed almost a final entry called Summer of Goodbyes, which was really about the ethnic cleansing that was beginning in her middle-class Baghdad neighborhood, people mm-hmm. being sent Kalashnikov bullets and told to get out of town. And she basically, at the end, she said, I wonder, something like 500,000 Iraqis have basically fled the country for almost anywhere in this chaos. And she clearly indicated that that one might think about this. And then she disappeared, and week after week went by, and a reader started writing me at the site saying, do you know anything about Riverbend? Mm-hmm. In fact, I didn't. I actually found her website, and I wrote her a letter, but I heard nothing. And I suddenly found that, you know, these figures, 30,000, 600,000, you can't grasp them or grow attached to them no matter what the tragedy behind them is. But I suddenly started to think, I wonder if she is the 601,000 casualty. And yeah. I realized that in some way, I'm an editor in real life, I love words, and her words are simply beautiful, and I had grown to love her words, and in a sense, I suppose, her. And so I found myself, you know, kind of bereft, and I called her publisher. They knew nothing. They hadn't heard from her. They were worried. And I was just getting ready to write a separate piece about her, wondering about a single lovely and fierce young woman who had disappeared and who we might never know about. 2.5 months had passed when, on that day, I was rereading her books just to get a sense of what she had done, although I'd read most of the stuff before. She returned with a blog about the issue of casualties, and it's up there if you go to Baghdad Burning. And I went, ah, thank heavens. But I realized in that way that she had somehow given me a sense of an Iraqi world that, sitting in New York City, I could never have had, and one that was deeply disturbing and has left me, you know, with a powerful urge to do what the Bush administration won't do, which is to get us out of there and give them some relief.
Mm-hmm. Tom Engelhardt, what do you make of the dance that the White House is doing today? Tony Snow was quite on the defensive because Dick Cheney gave an interview to a right-wing radio talk show host who was brought to the White House to be spoon-fed and was busy with his spoon out, and he led Cheney into a discussion that this right-winger supports waterboarding, and, gee, isn't a no-brainer.
Yes, now, the term water... He called it water dunking,
yeah,
actually.
Dunking in the water. That
yeah,
was the
yeah.
inartful language that he used.
Yeah.
And so Tony Snow is now trying to spin it as if we take these detainees down to the beach at Guantanamo and dip their toes in the water and say, would you please answer our questions?
You know, back in the barbaric Middle Ages in Europe, people were not unclear about this. They did the same thing then, and it was then called, very bluntly, the water torture. This is not complicated. You make a person, in essence, feel that they're drowning. And I mean, the thing you have to say about this is that I must say I never thought I would come to the day when I would see a vice president of the United States openly lobbying Congress for a torture exemption, yeah, whatever they called it, for the CIA. I mean, that usually, at least, administrations who were doing things that were ugly had a kind of plausible deniability. But these people, you know, they went after torture so early. The phrase early on in this administration was publicly they wanted to take the gloves off. I don't know what those gloves were. And privately, inside the CIA, for instance, George Tenet's phrase was taking the shackles off. And this was, I think the thought behind this was that if you could get the right to torture, and you could get it reasonably publicly, you could get the right to anything. You could get, you could in the end get the commander-in-chief presidency that you wanted. And I think that was, to me, that was the real significance of torture, not whether you got information out of people or not, but it promised a certain power, and they went for it almost immediately after September 11th.
Well, on this program, we renamed the Military Commissions Act the Joseph Stalin Torture, Detention, and Kangaroo Court Act of 2006.
Exactly.
Tom Engelhardt, a pleasure to talk with you. Let's do it again.
Very good, Peter. Thank you.
All right. Visit TomDispatch.com and read the latest from Tom Engelhardt. Coming up next, Jeff Cohen's going to join us. He was one of the founders of Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. Then he went on the inside, worked at MSNBC while Phil Donahue is actually a producer on The Donahue Show. He also survived a stint at Fox and on Crossfire at CNN. Cable News Confidential is the book. Jeff Cohen joins us next here on The Peter B. Collins Show. And Professor George Lakoff coming up in our next hour right here on The PBC Show Today.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Would you all please relax? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network, sponsored by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. Wherever in the world you compete, Michigan can give you the upper hand. So many mottos have evaporated. Stay the course is gone. As they stand up, we'll stand down is gone. But there's one motto still out there. If we leave, they will follow us here. That's a frightening prospect. Of course, the flip side appears to be, if we stay, they will keep killing us there. But the defense secretary was having none of that.
You're looking for some sort of a guillotine to come flowing down if some date isn't met.
Guillotines actually come crashing down, but everybody got the message.
You ought to just back off, take a look at it, relax, understand that it's complicated, it's difficult.
So let's back off, relax, and examine the one remaining motto that appears to be keeping us in Iraq. If we leave, they will follow us here. That is not only frightening, it is maddening. Because we have the mightiest military mankind has ever known, and the idea that after all the money we've spent, 20,000 insurgents could sneak in and put up a real fight on our own soil is enough to drive you...
Relax.
Okay, you're right. Let's see then. Here in America, we get upset if someone lets the grass get too long, right? So, if America left Iraq and the insurgents followed us here, wouldn't we call the SWAT team and have their sorry little insurgent butts clapped in the slammer?
Relax.
Yes, I think we would.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging.
And the fastest way to stop them is with Barracuda Network's spam, firewalls, and web filters. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now and ask for your free trial. Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use. That's why over 35,000 leading companies are using the award-winning firewall. Try a Barracuda firewall for free. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to BarracudaNetworks.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Tired of that dreaded drive into town for fresh quality produce? The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village has the perfect solution to your problem. Owners Ed Drobnik and Don Bikey have over 50 years of combined experience in the produce business and are passing the substantial savings on to their customers. The Produce Barn offers a wide selection of conventional and certified organic seasonal fresh fruits and vegetables. We also carry a fine selection of specialty candies and snacks, exquisite gourmet gift items, and feature Freedom Meats, savory sausages, bacon, and marinated fresh meats. Heck, we even throw in free recipes. So, whether you're a restaurant, lodge, home chef, or treasured village visitor, stop by the Produce Barn at 13750A Center Street in the Center Street Plaza, behind Wells Fargo, and right next to the Chatterbox. We're open 7 days a week.
The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village, 659-5916. That's 659-5916. The Produce Barn.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. It's 33 minutes past the hour. Coming up next hour, we will not be live. We will bring you a replay of a recent conversation I had with Professor George Lakoff, the linguistics expert from the University of California at Berkeley. And some of my right-wing friends may think I'm ducking out early to get my Volvo serviced for a sushi dinner with my Birkenstock friends, maybe after a glass of Chardonnay and Brie, but actually I've been invited to give a two-minute statement before a hearing of the Federal Communications Commission. They are globetrotting the nation. That's not quite a phrase. They are trotting across the nation to hear input from the public so that they can go back and make the decision they've already, I think, figured out, which is to let the corporate media get even more powerful in this country. And so I apologize for taking an hour off, but I thought it was worthwhile, and hopefully the commissioners will be awake and paying attention. Jeff Cohen joins us now. He's been a media agitator for a long time. He was a founder of Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. He served, behind enemy lines on many occasions at CNN, at Fox, and at MSNBC. And he's written about it, a fascinating memoir called Cable News Confidential, My Misadventures in Corporate Media. Jeff Cohen, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, it's great to be with you.
Well, thank you very much. And I wanted to get your advice on this FCC hearing. Do you think they'd actually pay more attention if I peppered it with expletives?
Yeah, you might get fined, though. I know the corporate media better than I ever wanted to, having been, as you say, behind enemy lines. And the idea that commissioners would be thinking of giving the airwaves even more than they already have to the handful of corporations that are sitting on the windpipe of the First Amendment, it's beyond comprehension.
Oh,
they
Jeff,
could even be thinking about it.
Come on, Jeff. You liberals are all the same.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm supposed to call you a pinko or something like that. I'm trying to channel Bob Novak.
Right. Well, look, I've had a lot of experience with the Novaks and the Buchanans and the Hannitys and the O'Reillys. I used to, in fact, get paid to go up against them. But, I think that it can't hurt for you to do your 2 minutes. There's not one mass constituency in the country that wants to have the media concentrated into fewer hands. You know, the right wing's against that, the left wing's against that, everyone in between is against it, but it keeps happening.
But Jeff, they've done great. The corporate media's done such a great job holding the Bush administration accountable.
Yeah. Like, I was over at MSNBC in the run-up to the war, and there was nothing funny about it. You know, I tried to write a book that was somewhat humorous. You get to the months before the war, I was not only on the air as a pundit doing debates with different right-wingers in the afternoon, I was also behind the scenes the senior producer at the Phil Donahue primetime show.
Right.
Until that was canceled 3 weeks before the invasion began because of Phil Donahue's correct skepticism about mm-hmm. the coming invasion. But so I was there. I lost my airtime because they had to make room for all these weapons of mass destruction analysts to come on the air.
Oh, the rent-a-generals.
Yeah, they, and the former generals, the former colonels, they never had any debates. They were not asked tough questions from the anchors.
Mm-hmm.
And you look back at what they said, and almost all of it was wrong. And then in the last 2 months of Donahue, top management at MSNBC, this is your corporate media that you'll soon be testifying about, top management at MSNBC, which is owned by General Electric, a military contractor, they ordered us, every time we booked one guest on Donahue who was anti-war, we had to book two that were pro-war. If we booked two guests on the left, we had to book three on the right. At one meeting, a producer suggested booking Michael Moore, and she was told for ideological balance, she'd have to have three right-wingers.
Oh, I thought that's just because he's a large man.
Got nothing to do with size. It was ideology. So you look, the more the media concentrate in fewer and fewer corporate hands, the less the American people know about the issues that face them as citizens. And I've come to believe that's not an accident.
Let's talk about the composition, particularly the guests who are invited on these programs. Media Matters and FAIR have both done analyses of the guests who appear on the Sunday chat shows, on the PBS NewsHour. And you have penned a piece that we found just today at Common Dreams called Let's Challenge TV's Lockout of Progressives. And let me tell you about an interchange I had with Chris Matthews about 2 years ago. It turns out that we have kids at the same college, and we ran into each other on Parents Weekend. And I knew Chris when, before he got on TV, before he interrupted everybody, he was an ink-stained print journalist. He was the Washington bureau chief for the San Francisco Examiner.
Right.
And so I went up to him and I said hi, and I just got to ask you something. You know, you have Pat Buchanan on your show at least once a week. And you have these guests who come on from the far right and the lesser right, but you rarely have an out-and-out liberal, progressive, even a left-leaning Democratic elected official. And he just looked at me and he said, oh, I don't get involved in that anymore. He said, I don't try to pick the guests. It's too messy.
Oh, come on. That's such a hoax. I mean, he doesn't notice who's in front of him. He's a typical example of a host who moderates center-right debates, locking out nearly half of the political spectrum. You know, debates from no broader than from GE to GM. He does it all the time. Russert does it all the time. Stephanopoulos, you know, George Will is on every week.
Yeah.
Occasionally they have Katrina VandenHeuvel from The Nation, but George Will is on every week, and it's usually a center-right debate. They know what they're doing. The reason these things happen, and I write about it heavily in the book, I think there's a sense on national TV, which has the big national corporate sponsors, that if you had a bona fide left liberal, a bona fide progressive, that there'd be too much criticism of the big corporations that own the media or sponsor the media. And, you know, in the crowds that the Matthews hang out at, the Tim Russerts hang out at, their idea of the full spectrum, like in Georgetown, or their idea of a full spectrum is Joe Lieberman's on the left wing, and, you know, the Novaks and the Sununus and the Hannitys, they're on the right wing, and there's nothing beyond it. And, I mean, they have a very narrow frame of reference, and they're only comfortable with that narrow. It's not really a full spectrum of American opinion. It's a corporate spectrum. It's a beltway spectrum. And it's you know, I think they know what they're doing. There's been so many well-documented studies, especially by FAIR going back years, now also by Media Matters. It's just the data is overwhelming. Did you ever wonder why right-wingers never do studies of who the guests are on these shows? You ever wonder? They've never, ever done one.
Jeff Cohen is with us here. His new book, Cable News Confidential. It's a great read, and there is humor here. I enjoyed the way you tweaked some of your fellow travelers over the years. Michael Kinsey, for his self-admission that he's a mushy moderate, when he sat in the left chair on Crossfire for, what, 6 years?
6 years, and then he announces himself as a wishy-washy moderate.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you about this, because you just mentioned that one of the issues about guest selection is concern about the corporate sponsors of these programs. Now, General Electric is a named sponsor, I believe, of the Stephanopoulos show on ABC, which is a different network. Archer Daniels Midland underwrites the PBS NewsHour, and they have that non-commercial that annoys me every night at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
I just got, and I got this from a source who I will thank but not identify, an email that went out today from ABC Radio Networks. And it is a blackout, and it reads this way. Please be advised that Hewlett-Packard has purchased schedules with ABC Radio Networks between certain dates. Please make sure you black out this advertiser on your station, as they do not wish to air on any Air America affiliates. Please see below for a complete list of all advertisers requesting that none of their commercials air within Air America programming. There are almost 100 corporations listed here, Jeff. I'll just buzz through a couple. Allstate, Avon, Bank of America, Bayer, BMW, a bunch of over-the-counter medications, Gold Bond and others, Singular Wireless, Clorox, Coke, Dell, Denny's, Discovery Channel, eHarmony. The progressives don't do online dating. Epson, Exxon, FedEx, Frito-Lay, GE, Goodyear, Heineken, Hershey's, Hewlett-Packard, Home Depot, Hormel. These are the largest advertisers in network media in the country, and they're all on a list that says don't go on progressive radio.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. Has that been made public yet?
No, this is an internal document sent to stations instructing them how to black out these commercials.
Yeah, I mean, this is a more blatant example. It's stunning what you just read. It's a blatant example of what's been going on a little more subtly over the years. And
yeah, the only blackouts I was aware of, there used to be memos posted in the control rooms of radio stations that said, if there is an airline accident, we don't run United or Delta spots for a certain period of time. That's the only blackout that I've ever seen in the past.
Yeah, that's the common one. I think increasingly over the years, these sponsors have been more blatant about getting programming off the air that they don't like. This seems to be a concerted effort to kill off progressive talk by the biggest corporations in the country and the world. And, you know, I mean, it's typical. I remember when General Motors was upset by an article that was critical of GM management from one of those left-wing magazines. You hear so much about it. It was called Fortune magazine.
Yeah.
And they threatened a boycott of all Time Life publications. And the spokesperson for General Motors was quoted as saying, "The purpose of advertising is to influence people in a friendly environment." Unquote. And year by year, corporations have been more blatant about telling programmers, telling TV and radio stations what they will and what they will not tolerate.
Mm-hmm.
The memo you just read just takes it to the nth degree. But corporations, when they were upset, auto dealers about investigative reporting, they've threatened to take their ads out of certain newspapers, and then the investigative reporting stopped. That happened at the Hartford Courant in Connecticut. And it's happening more and more and more. It's why we need in this country true public broadcasting. It's why we need more listener-sponsored and viewers sponsored programming. I mean, the corporations will not brook any opposition, and they're just getting more and more blatant about it. They don't want free speech. They don't believe in small-d democracy.
My Donahue moment was in the 90s, I was the token lefty on KNBR in San Francisco, which was at the time the local affiliate for Rush Limbaugh. And they had me there because they were concerned that the liberals in San Francisco would go ballistic, and they wanted to be able to say, see, we're balanced, fair and balanced.
Right.
So I was fired after I permitted the Teamsters to come on my show and describe what the Safeway grocery store chain was trying to do to them. And they were trying to essentially fire a couple of thousand members of unions in the Bay Area by moving their distribution center over the hill into the valley in a town called Tracy, where they had a third-party company set up a non-union operation. And I personally didn't take sides. I allowed the Teamsters to come on and state their case. I offered Safeway the opportunity to participate in the program, and they declined. And the next day, they called management. They reminded management that Safeway was the largest single advertiser on that radio station. And 3 weeks later, I was on the street.
Wow. You know what? We look at other countries where they have blatant censorship on a daily basis, and we're able to identify the source of the censorship is usually a government authority or a religious authority. I think the American people are slowly waking up that in our country, most censorship is corporate. And it's gotten, the corporate stranglehold over information, it's just gotten tighter and tighter and tighter. Peter, they weren't afraid that you were going to be imbalanced. They were afraid you were going to get labor to at least have half of the say. And they didn't want labor to have half of the story.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing that's happening. It's getting more and more blatant. And, you know, I'm watching the news tonight, and CBS Evening News has their special in-depth segment brought to you by ExxonMobil.
Beautiful. We got to take a break. We'll return with Jeff Cohen. The book is Cable News Confidential. It's a great read. Pick it up. If you want to talk with us, join us now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. I'm Peter B. Collins.
KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, Ronnie Bramer, owner of New Horizon Real Estate Group in St. Petersburg, Florida, returns to talk about some great investment opportunities in Florida and Louisville, Kentucky. Call him at 727-827-0154 for more info. And don't forget, this is the last weekend for our Rock and Relax giveaway, where someone will be going to see the Rolling Stones at the Oakland Coliseum November 5th and a weekend for two at the Seascape Resort on Monterey Bay. That's this Sunday morning at 10 on Rock Roller Real Estate.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
And a very pleasant good afternoon to you. Well, let's take a look at the very latest. Got a problem in Monterey. It's southbound 101 right at Hartnell Road. And they're saying this is a blue Nissan Sentra. It had a pole. Looks like it did not block. The pole's still standing, according to CHP. Now, the vehicle is now in the center divide. A lot of folks hitting their brake lights to check out the activities. And then it's a non-injury crash, but they may be calling out the fire department as a precautionary measure. And let's take a look at northbound and southbound 101, a little bit slow and go. In and out of Salinas, northbound 101 also slows from the San Miguel Canyon turnoff, so be advised about that particular pressure. And let's mention the southbound 1 slowing between Monterey and Carmel. This report brought to you by your Barry Audi dealer. Test drive the all-new 2007 Q7, the 3.6, the SUV with a powerful V6 engine.
This traffic report has been paid for by Stephen Brady, hotel union member of Local Unite Here number 483, to encourage all listeners, their families, and friends to join the union boycott of Monterey Bay Travel Lodge until absentee owner Kelso Sue signs a fair contract for his workers. Power to the people.
On the Peter B. Collins Show.
Here we go, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. Hey, hey, we're Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us,
just turn on the nightly news.
On the nightly news. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans. And people say we act like clowns.
I'm Peter B. Collins. We're talking with Jeff Cohen. His new book is called Cable News Confidential. A couple of quick notes. Coming up next hour, a replay of a recent conversation with Professor George Lakoff. That enables me to slide over to Oakland to deliver my comments to this FCC community hearing. And also for our listeners in Phoenix on KPHX 1480, a little time shift due to we're going back to standard time here in California over the weekend. So starting Monday, we'll be live 4 to 7 p.m. Phoenix time on KPHX 1480. Jeff Cohen, I wanted to come back just briefly to the article that you penned, Let's Challenge TV's Lockout of Progressives. What can we do about it? How can we talk to the producers? I can't get through to Joe Scarborough's producers and say, why don't you have a liberal on that show?
Well, the good news is it looks like there's going to be a change in politics in this next election. And as I wrote in that column, if there's a change in politics where the American people have spoken out and they said, these are the individuals we want to represent us on Capitol Hill, but we look at the TV screens and we see that half of the country doesn't have any representatives speaking for them on TV, it gives us a stronger moral argument. I encourage people to join FAIR's website, FAIR's activism arm, which you can sign up at FAIR.org, mm-hmm. or Media Matters of America, which is MediaMatters.org. And also, I'm sure a lot of your listeners are already members of MoveOn.org.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the plan is that we won't take it anymore. And obviously, we need to support truly independent broadcasts like yours, and we have to fight for space on the existing more corporate mainstream outlets that millions of people are watching every night. And I just think if people form together and they organize together, they'll be able to win some openings. Will corporate media ever be balanced? No. But might we, by organizing, open up some spaces, get a few people on? That's been the history of FAIR. Every time FAIR has taken on a target, there's usually an opening. There's people that got on the air that wouldn't have gotten on the air except for that activism.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the good news is when you involve thousands and thousands of people in activism simply demanding balance, and then those thousands of people see, you know what? We don't have balance. It's very educational, and it gets those activists to redouble their activism and to deepen what they're already doing. There's good things that happen when people get into motion demanding something as elementary. In the land of the free, you know, in the land of the First Amendment,
mm-hmm.
when people go to these corporate media and say, all we want is something simple. A free press,
yeah.
a balanced press, a real debate. And then they see that the corporate media won't allow that. It's very educational. It often leads people to deepen their activism, and that's mm-hmm. a good thing for democracy.
Jeff Cohen, two big surprises for me. One is I would never have predicted that David Brock would lead a progressive media watchdog organization. And I would never have predicted that a jock like Keith Olbermann would become a leading progressive voice in this country.
And a very lone voice. I mean, that's the thing. We're going to have this political sea change on November 7th, and we're going to watch TV that night, and the only person that will be reflecting that sea change is Olbermann. And he will be outnumbered by Hannity and O'Reilly and Glenn Beck and Scarborough and Tucker Carlson and Chris Matthews, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Keith Olbermann is a breath of fresh air. I've always enjoyed the guy's whimsy
yeah.
on the air. And I think he saw that, what's going on with the Bush era and the rubber stamp media is just not acceptable. And he started speaking out.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got louder and even louder. And then his ratings started growing. You know, when I was at MSNBC as the senior producer on Donahue, I went to management. I said, look, we could be doubling our ratings. Let Phil be Phil. Let us bring on the people that aren't seen on TV.
Yeah.
The Barbara Ehrenreichs and Amy Goodmans and,
right.
and Cornel West.
There's
and
profit.
Greg
Palast. There's profit in that, Jeff.
Yeah, and that we'd make a lot of money. You'd get a lot of ratings. They wouldn't allow it because Bush was popular at the
yeah.
time.
Jeff,
that's
Jeff,
the difference. That's why Olbermann is tolerated, because you can only kick conservatives in the mainstream media if they're down.
Jeff, let me ask you this. One of the enduring, now it's referred to as a conspiracy, set of conspiracy theories, but many of us have well-placed doubts about the official story about 9/11. And yet, the corporate media won't touch that. That is a hot story, bigger than Watergate, something that an intrepid reporter could really dig into and bring out the truth. I don't know what the truth is. I know we haven't been told it. I hunger for it. And because we don't have it, we have wingnuts who are out there saying that things never happened and all that sort of thing.
Right, that it wasn't really a plane that hit the Pentagon. I think you're right.
Well, that one I share.
I believe it was a jet, and witnesses saw it was a jet. But I think your point is well made, that when there's so much suspicion of media, when we know corporate media won't turn reporters loose to find the facts of stories that are too controversial, then I think people's suspicions and sometimes conspiracy theories can take shape. Some of them may be true. From what I've seen of a lot of the 9/11 stuff, most of it's not true. In these conspiracy theories, but I think your point is right.
Okay, but
who can trust the corporate media at this point?
If a plane hit the Pentagon, why can't they show me a picture of it?
Why don't they? It's a good point. I mean, there's a new documentary done by Rory O'Connor.
Yeah, we've talked about it. We've got it here.
And again, the questions, the 9/11 investigation, it was half-assed. It was political, as so many of them are.
Yeah, Jeff, we got to do the yip-yap now.
Yeah. All right.
How do you do that? You have to say from the left.
Funny. No, first we have to get rid of the guest.
Oh, okay.
And then you call me, if we're discussing feminism, you call me a feminine weenie.
Uh-huh.
Or if we're discussing the death penalty and I'm Jeff Cohen on the left and you're Bob Novak on the right.
Well, listen, go out in your cab and I'll argue back. You got to read the story about Bill O'Reilly in Jeff's book.
Yeah, Bill O'Reilly keeps debating after he excuses you.
Cable News Confidential, Jeff Cohen. My pleasure. Thanks for joining me today.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Looks like the battle will go on through the weekend in the canyons east of Los Angeles. CBS News reporter Stephen Kaufman is covering.
There's no shortage of resources as more than 1,000 firefighters backed by aircraft are attempting to make some progress in containing a wildfire in California's Riverside County. Janet Upton with the State Department of Natural Resources says because the fire is being fanned by high winds, crews are planning for a worst-case scenario.
A wind shift to come from the northwest, which would push the fire in a southeasterly direction towards the community of Idaho. Wild. That's only a possibility that we're prepared for. It's not occurred at this time.
The high winds are expected to last through Saturday. Stephen Kaufman, CBS News, Beaumont, California.
4 years ago this month, the Washington area was terrorized by a series of random sniper attacks. John Allen Muhammad and his then teenage accomplice Lee Boyd Malvo were later convicted. They've been linked to other shootings around the country, and now, after questioning, police in Tucson say Malvo has confessed to shooting a 60-year-old man on a golf course in March 2002. What did he say? Vice President Cheney, asked in a radio interview about dunking suspected terrorists in water, said it was a no-brainer for him, but went on to say the United States does not torture. At the White House today, spokesman Tony Snow insisted Cheney did not confirm the use of the technique called waterboarding, even by accident.
You got Dick Cheney, who's been head of an intelligence committee. He's been the Secretary of Defense. He's been the Vice President. He's not a guy who slips up.
Even if he wasn't confirming it, critics say Cheney's comment amounts to an endorsement of waterboarding. The fifth and possibly deciding game of the World Series is about to get underway.
This is Steve Futterman at Busch Stadium. It's been a very cold, windy, rainy day here in St. Louis. The rain has stopped, but it's still very windy and very cold. When the game begins, it will be near 40. With the wind chill factored in, it will be in the 30s, and the rain still might come back. This could be the final game of the year. A Cardinals win will give them the series. A Tiger win sends the series back to Detroit.
CBS News correspondent John Harshey reports there's a new attempt to boost airfares.
United started it, announcing a $6 round-trip increase because of high fuel prices. The higher fares apply to many routes where United competes against low-cost carriers, except routes where there's head-to-head competition with Southwest. That airline is not raising fares. At bestfares.com, Tom Parsons has doubts these increases will last because the traditional airlines are not controlling ticket prices.
They have to compete with these low-cost carriers, and they're going to have to match them dollar for dollar, apple for apple, oranges for oranges.
Parsons suggests airfare shoppers wait through the weekend to see if these increases stick. John Harchie, CBS News, Washington.
The Dow down 73 points today, but still finished higher for the week at 12,090. The Nasdaq lost 28 points to close at 2350, and oil prices edged up a bit to $60.75 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Hi, I'm Sterling Marley, driver of the number 14 Waste Management Chevrolet.
And I'm Bill Lester, driver of the number 23 Waste Management car.
You know, we're just two drivers of a team of 30,000.
That's because our team at Waste Management has drivers and pit crews all over the country.
So if you're revved up for a new career, call Waste Management at 877-220-JOBS.
Call now and get it in gear.
From everyday collection to environmental protection, think green, think Waste Management. Call 877-220-JOBS today.
If there were a store on your main street called Peace of Mind, would you pay it a visit? On main streets all across America, there is such a place, New York Life. We have been offering customers peace of mind for over 160 years. Peace of mind comes from our agents who adhere to the values of financial strength, integrity, and humanity. So look for us in your town. Peace of mind is why New York Life is the company you keep.
They say timing is everything, and a Ford worker in Georgia facing the imminent loss of his job had great timing today. Reporter Pete Combs has the story.
It wasn't a day 52-year-old Jerome McGinnis was really looking forward to. The Ford assembly plant in Hapeville, Georgia was shutting its doors. The last Taurus was rolling off the line. Oh, and it was raining. But then McGinnis rolled into a gas station, and his world changed forever.
He bought his ticket, and he paid for the gas up front, and he got so excited when he bought the ticket that he forgot to get the gas.
Georgia Lottery Director Margaret DeFrancisco says the ticket won McGinnis almost $250,000. Not bad for your last day at work. McGinnis says he'll invest the money. Pete Combs, CBS News, Atlanta.
Nearly 2,000 jobs were eliminated when the last Taurus left the factory today. The car was sold to Truett Cathy, founder of Chick-fil-A. He credits the success of his first restaurant to all the business he got from workers at the Hapeville plant. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
It's here at Ford and Lincoln Mercury Dealerships, the Right Now Factory Authorized Service Event, with special offers on tires, brakes, batteries, and more. Right now, buy four select Goodyear tires and get an iTunes gift card valued from $50 to $100, or an iPod Nano. Genuine parts and service at Ford and Lincoln Mercury Dealerships. Hurry, it all ends soon. Call 1-877-310-3673, or see participating dealer for details through 11-30-06.
Walgreens has big news. They've teamed up with AARP with great new programs and offers for everyone 50 and over. To celebrate, AARP members who buy $10 worth of Walgreens brand items get a $10 gift card free. Not a member, but you love all that AARP has to offer? Walgreens has something for you, too. A free one-year membership, including their magazine, great benefits, and programs. Offers end soon, but the benefits are just beginning. See Walgreens for details. Restrictions may apply.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on, and I continue as your humble host, Peter B. This hour is going to be fascinating and practical. We're going to take some of the lessons that George Lakoff has published in previous books and try to bring them down to the activist level. And during this hour, if you're a political activist, I want you to call in and tell us some of the challenges you're wrestling with. From Australia's Midnight Oil, that's called My Country, Right or Wrong? Well, my country needs a lot of work. My country needs some fixing. My country needs the impact of progressive involvement in every level of the process. And there's a blueprint for progressive activists that has just been published by the Rockridge Institute and Professor George Lakoff. It's called Thinking Points, a Progressive's Handbook, the subtitle, Communicating Our American Values and Vision. Professor Lakoff, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
A pleasure to be here, Peter, as always.
Nice to talk with you, sir. And first up, I wanted to mention that our producer, Matt Renner, spied you in the crowd at the Al Gore rally in Berkeley today. He's there on behalf of a ballot measure that would put a tax on oil companies here in California. How do you think Al did?
Al was great. I mean, Al was, if he'd only been that good in 2000, he did very, very well.
Was he framing, and were his language choices in compliance with your advice?
It's not just language choices. Remember that what we're suggesting is talking about values and principles, and he was right up there. He, as he said, the issue of energy is a moral issue. It is one of the, perhaps the moral issues of our day, one of the moral issues of our day to, you know, deal with global warming and to deal with pollution generally. That is crucial, and he's right.
Mm-hmm. And did he use any of the other side's language or framing in a way that made you uncomfortable?
Not at all. He was right there.
Oh, good. Good. So maybe he's been reading your books and paying attention?
I hope so,
yeah.
But he's been doing very well.
Now, tell us what prompted you and your colleagues at Rockridge to publish this book, and it's, as I understand it, it's also available on the website.
Yeah, by the way, it's $10 retail, so it's cheaper to buy than to download, and probably less on the Internet. But, yeah, if you want to, you can download it, you know, but it's easier to buy it. The basic idea is this. We have been asked for the past 4 years by activists and people in the grassroots who want to speak out to tell them how to do it, to say, okay, you know, we want to express what we feel in our gut. How do we do it? What do we say? How do we think about it? How do we argue? And what we did finally was to say, look, we're going to put out a handbook, and we're going to give it away online and make it cheap and accessible, giving you everything you need to know about framing, not issue by issue, because that's vast amounts to know. But what we can do on our website is expand it indefinitely, open it up, take your suggestions, take your questions, and over a period of months and years, try to deal with as much as possible in detail while we give you the general idea. What we're trying to do is form a national speak-out network of a million voices.
And how would you corral an army like that?
Well, I think the Internet is the way to do it. You know, I think we need to just to put out the word. Now the handbook is done. You know, we're now raising money for the to get the appropriate computer necessities to do that, get the computational programs in place, and then spread the word over the Internet.
Now, have any campaigns bought cases of your book, for example, the Sherrod Brown campaign in Ohio or some of the other progressives who are running in races that they could win this year?
I have no idea. I mean, Sherrod's a wonderful guy. He had the Elephant book a couple of years ago, and he's had Moral Politics. I don't know. This book just came out 2 weeks ago. I have no idea if he's had a chance to buy a case of them.
Great. The place I'd like to start, Professor Lakoff, is with your attack on the center. I read the book last night, and by the way, I wanted to let you know that I think your goals were achieved. You wrote in the foreword to the book that you wanted it to be a brief read and something full of practical do's and don'ts, and I found it to be very useful. And I spent about an hour and a half, and I read most of it, so I think you did achieve your goals. But one of the things you try to clear up is this phony notion that there is a center party in America. Politics.
Yeah, there is no single set of values and positions that constitute a center. It doesn't exist. What you have are two very different ideologies, two very different ways of understanding the world, what I call a strict father and nurturant ideology, which have to do with conservative ways of viewing the world and progressive ways of viewing the world. And there are many people who, in fact, most of us have both of those in different parts of our lives, or even, you may be progressive in every active part of your life, but you're conservative, you have a conservative worldview if you can watch an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie and understand it. if you don't walk out saying, what was that about, then you've got that in your brain somewhere.
Well, just on that basis, Professor, maybe I do qualify as all progressive, because I was asked to leave Terminator 3 because I was laughing at inappropriate times compared to the other people in the theater.
Well, that's fine. That means you really understood both at once.
Does that make me biconceptual in that respect?
Oh, I think so. You can't grow up in this culture without being biconceptual. But they're active biconceptual.
Explain what you mean by that.
Well, someone who has really conservative views on certain issues and identifies as a conservative, say, on those issues, but actually has very progressive views in other areas of their lives. And this is something that Ronald Reagan understood very well. He understood that blue-collar workers who had been voting Democratic were nurturant in their union workplaces, but were strict fathers at home. So he used metaphors from the home to talk about politics, to activate their strict father values when they were voting. And this is what conservatives have been doing since then. They understand that. Now, there are a lot of conservatives in this country, conservatives in the sense that if you ask them on a poll, what are you, they'll say, you know, I'm conservative. But these are people who actually love the land as much as any environmentalist does. They like to go hunting and fishing and camping and hiking, and they want to breathe clean air and drink clean water just like anybody else. They love the land, and you can talk to them on that basis. Many people identify as conservatives are progressive Christians, not conservative fundamentalists. They're people who really do believe that the meek shall inherit the earth, that we should be feeding the hungry and healing the sick.
Well, in the book Thinking Points, you identify the left's favorite punching bag this year, Joe Lieberman of Connecticut, and you say that senator describes himself as a moderate. In fact, little about him is moderate.
Yeah.
He doesn't typically stake out middle-of-the-road positions on particular issues. Instead, his politics include both liberal and conservative positions, but on different issues. This makes him a biconceptual. His progressive worldview appears in his staunch support of environmental protection, abortion rights, workers' rights. His conservative worldview emerges in areas like his support of faith-based initiatives, school vouchers, and most notably, the current policy on Iraq. Because he tends to adopt progressive positions more often than conservative ones, we refer to him as a partial conservative, but not as a moderate.
That's right. There's nothing moderate about that guy.
and he's probably going to win.
Well, he may well win for various reasons. He's getting a huge amount of Republican and corporate money, and that may tip the balance for him. but you know, that we'll just see. He's basically getting the full Republican vote and some of the Democratic vote.
Yeah, it is fascinating, and I thought Ned Lamont was going to be able to pull it off. I'm still hopeful, but it doesn't seem to be showing up in the polls. We're going to take a break and return with Professor George Lakoff. Our lines are open for you, so if you're an activist, one of our listeners in Sacramento, in Eureka, in Phoenix, or on the Central Coast, or maybe one of our fine new listeners in Coos Bay, Oregon, if you've got questions of a practical nature, let's talk about them this hour and do a little practicum here, a little seminar with Professor George Lakoff. The new book is called Thinking Points, Communicating Our Values and Vision, and we'll take your calls in a moment at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372 or 888-5-PETER-B. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
I am Juan Escamilla, hands-on owner of Wilson's Tire and Service and candidate for Cabrillo College Board of Trustees, District 6. Cabrillo College is an excellent community college. Let's make it even better by adding state-of-the-art vocational training for our entire community. That's why I'm asking for your vote on November 7th. I am Juan Escamilla, candidate for Cabrillo College Board of Trustees, District 6, and I would appreciate your vote.
Hard work with straight talk. Escamilla for Cabrillo College Trustee, District 6.
And a very pleasant good afternoon to you. Let's take a look at an accident working in the Hollister-Gilroy area. Southbound 101 at 152, we have a vehicle that went off the roadway, actually went down an embankment. Looks like tow truck on scene now. Santa Cruz covered bridge at Graham Hill, we have a vehicle partially blocking a lane there, doesn't give the direction. Black Ranch Road at State Route Highway 1 in Santa Cruz, we have a traffic, it looks like a pickup truck and another black Nissan blocking the roadway there, so be advised. That's in Lane at Soquel. That's in Santa Cruz. We have a vehicle versus a pedestrian, although it does look like the roadway is clear. Everything off to the shoulder. Fire department already on scene there. There's support brought to you by Preparation H. Carry Preparation H portable wipes. Convenient little packets that hold very big wipes to cleanse, cool, and soothe, even when you're not at home. Preparation H portable wipes. Big relief to go. Mike O'Shea with traffic on KRXA 540.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Here we go, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. Hey, we're the Republicans, and people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters, to somebody really drown. We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news.
That Monkey's Makeover is Top of the Pops here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
We just steal elections.
We're talking with Professor George Lakoff from the University of California at Berkeley. And, you know, Don't Think of an Elephant. He was on our show earlier this summer. His newest book about freedom, Whose Freedom? And the brand new book is a manual or a guidebook. Doesn't have dummies, the yellow ink. But it's called Thinking Points, Communicating Our American Values and Vision. And it's subtitled A Progressive's Handbook. Professor, we're joined by Josh in Salinas. Hello, Josh. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter.
Hi.
I wanted to talk with you about an experience I had this Saturday. I was talking with MoveOn.org. I was calling up voters in a toss-up district. And I wound up speaking for about 20 minutes with a woman who was undecided.
Mm-hmm.
And she kept on saying, well, what matters to me really is the morals of the candidate.
Yes.
And I developed the theme of morals a little bit, but I think if I could have gone back in time, I would have worked on it even more strongly to say, ma'am, do you think that torture is moral? Do you think that do you think that holding people in prison without the opportunity for a trial is moral?
Mm-hmm.
And do you think that launching a war against a foreign country based on false witness is moral?
And, Professor, what's your reaction?
Well, fine as far as it goes. I mean, what you have to do is also point out what the moral vision of progressives is. That is, you know, what progressives believe as a moral vision is to care about people and act responsibly on that care, both for themselves and others. And that means protection. It's protection moral. Well, what is protection what? Protecting the environment, protecting workers, protecting consumers, you know, having a safety net. Those things are moral. Is it moral to care about freedom? You know, well, yes. If you look over the history of America, you know, the notion of freedom that has been most expanded upon because Americans insisted on it were freedom to vote, you know, freedom to freedom from want, freedom from fear, and so on. If you go through the kinds of freedoms, our civil rights and our freedom to be educated, to have access to opportunity and to knowledge, those freedoms have been expanded upon over and over. And if you look at what, let's say, our president is doing, he says, well, I'm working for your freedom when I spy on you. You know, I'm protecting your freedom. And you might ask, you know, do you think having somebody listening on your phone calls is protecting your freedom? Is that moral? But you're right. The question, let's say, about Katrina, was it moral for the Bush administration to decide that FEMA should be have its funds cut and should be essentially abolished and made into a last responder instead of a first responder.
But, Professor, part of the problem I see here is that Josh could be talking past the person on the phone because they don't have a common understanding of what morals are. The Republicans have redefined it into, you know, gay marriage and personal sexual morality as opposed to the larger question of the morality of the war, the morality. of torture?
Well, these are exactly the things that you've got to redefine. I mean, you've got to come back at just as Josh said. To say, look, is it moral to torture people, period? Mm-hmm. Is it moral to, but not just to go against them, but to say, is it moral to let people in this country starve, go without health care when they're working two jobs? You know, is it moral to transfer wealth to wealthy people while people who are not making much money can't even get health care?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are moral issues. Is it moral to ignore the global warming crisis in the world? I mean, here we have a major crisis happening, all over the world, and is it moral to just sit and let the oil companies make more and more money while the world deteriorates?
Josh, you got a follow-up?
I think you're both right. My observation at the end of the call was simply that the woman was operating probably from a religious framework, but definitely seeing morals as really ironclad, just trapped in the framework of sexuality, and there's no moral beyond that. And I think that's because of the media diet that she gets. And so that's why I was trying to bring her dialogue and her debate beyond the framework of sexuality. She said, you know what, I'm against gay marriage. And I said, yeah, and that's what Republicans want you to decide your vote on. But is this moral? Is that moral?
Mm-hmm.
Because as both of you have pointed out, too, there are many areas in which politics intersect with morality beyond sexuality.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And not only that, but progressives have very deep moral commitments.
More than in it for the money.
Josh, thanks a lot for your call today.
Thank you, Peter.
All right, Jamie in Phoenix. Hello, Jamie. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Professor George Lakoff.
Hi, Peter. Welcome to Daytimes in Phoenix.
I'm loving it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, and hello, Professor Lakoff. This is quite an honor.
Oh,
I'm a big fan of your work. I'm wondering if you have any suggestions on how to get past the initial reaction of you don't talk about politics and religion in polite company.
Well,
I'll tell you what, we've got only about 20 seconds before the break, so why don't you both hold on, and we're going to come right back to that question after the break. We'll take more calls, too, with Professor George Lakoff. He's with us for the rest of this hour. So if you have a comment that you'd like to bring to the mix or a question that you've encountered as you've been campaigning or trying to work your activism this fall, we'd love to hear from you. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. You can also drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com. We'll continue in a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas, and you should see it with all the lights. It's just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah. Christmas is fun. I mean, we start the kickoff with for the season the first weekend in November with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreaths.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes. Schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1, heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
Lost in Translation. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network, sponsored by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. Wherever in the world you compete, Michigan can give you the upper hand. Over the weekend, State Department official Alberto Fernandez gave an interview to the Arabic television channel Al Jazeera about the stalled war in Iraq. And among other things, he told Al Jazeera in fluent Arabic, quote, "We tried to do our best, but I think there is much room for criticism because undoubtedly there was arrogance and there was stupidity from the United States in Iraq," unquote. Now, what you'll notice about this quote is that it states the obvious. However, a senior administration official told CNN the remarks must have been mistranslated, even though both the AP and CNN translations matched. Then a State Department spokesman said Fernandez had been misquoted, even though Fernandez had confirmed the quote to CNN. And finally, Fernandez himself said the comments were misreported, until he saw that even the official transcript quotes him as saying arrogance and stupidity. Now he says he seriously misspoke. And you may well ask, how a diplomat might misspeak on such an important topic, especially when he's fluent in Arabic? Cynics might even say he didn't misspeak at all. This was actually an involuntary spasm of truth. Oh, no, no. I'm guessing that the problem is with the Arabic language itself. I'm betting that in Arabic, the phrase arrogance and stupidity sounds very much like the phrase meaning the inevitable march of freedom and peace, which will happen as we adjust our tactics to achieve victory without a timetable.
When you build your business in Michigan, you really do get the upper hand, like United Solar did. When they needed to expand in order to produce solar cells, it also worked as roofing shingles. The Michigan Economic Development Corporation was there to help. They found the resources, incentives, and partnerships to make Unisolar's new facility a reality. And they can do the same for you. Find out how at Michigan.org. Wherever in the world you compete, Michigan can give you the upper hand.
This is Dave Ross.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
We at KRXA want to thank you for your support of our advertisers. Together, we're working as a community to help take America back. Keep thinking outside the box and call us with any ideas and comments anytime. Tell your friends about KRXA, and together, we'll help change the direction of this great nation. Working as a team, we're making a difference, and it's needed now more than ever. I'm Sheila Gale. Thank you for listening to Progressive Talk, AM 540, KRXA.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 33 minutes past the hour. Our guest is Professor George Lakoff, University of California at Berkeley, a linguistics professor. And the new book is a handbook or a manual, Thinking Points, Communicating Our American Values and Vision. And I want to thank the professor for hanging on, but also want to thank Jamie for hanging on.
Please hang up and try again.
Somebody did make it.
I'm still here.
Okay. Matt, can you call the professor back? So we lost him during the break. We'll get him back for you here in just a second. And, Jamie, you hold on, because I wanted to tell Josh and Salinas that there is a great section in the book called Progressive Morality that helps you marshal some of the arguments about the common good and the commonwealth and how that is a moral set of values. So I recommend that to you. And now I mash a little button here, and we got Professor Lakoff back. Sorry we dropped your call there, Professor.
Okay.
And if you recall, before that lengthy commercial break, Jamie from Phoenix had joined us, and Jamie's still here. And,
yes.
Jamie, you wanted to ask about how we can talk about thorny issues like politics in so-called polite company. Give us an example. Is it your in-laws or a brother?
No, it's often, people at work, because I work in health care, or they talk to me about health care, and they'll say, oh, well, this Medicare D thing, and it's so horrible, and la la la, and I'll try to use that as a reason to broach the subject of, you know, do you vote Democrat or Republican? You know, that was a Republican thing, and they look right at you and say, oh, I don't talk about politics.
Well,
then what do you do with that? You're shut down.
Well, it's very simple. This is not a political issue, it's a moral issue. It is a moral imperative that people have health care, period. And that has to do with who you vote for.
Yeah, I know. I just on a regular basis, people just say they won't talk about it.
But I mean, mainly talk about it as a moral issue. Constantly talk about what does it mean to vote, you know, for people in politics to vote against health care. They vote against, extending Medicare, to refuse to have Medicare for all.
Jamie, what I'm hearing, too, is it's fascinating because I don't know when this crept into our vernacular or, just average daily speech, but it sounds like you're talking about somebody who would say, oh, don't go there.
Yes.
And that's a whole type of conversation that I really resent, because if somebody doesn't want to talk about something, there are a lot of different ways to communicate that to me. But when they say, don't go there, they're saying, I am ignorant and I want to stay that way. Or, I have a biased opinion and there's nothing you can do to change it.
Right.
And that's one of the most frustrating kinds of things I come up against. And Professor, is there a way to crack through the don't go there mindset?
The only way to do it is to bring it up as a moral issue, as a question of ethics, and then to take the particular thing that they're talking about and point out that this moral issue has political causes. And that politics is about morality, and it is about all the things they care about. That is, when they're complaining about something, let's say the breakdown of our healthcare system, there's a reason for it, and they need to understand what the reason is, and there's a cure for it. They need to understand what the cure for it, and all of those are moral issues. If they're going to complain, they're complaining usually for very good reason, and they're complaining because they think something is wrong. Morally wrong. And you can agree with them. You say, yes, that's wrong. It's morally wrong. And you know how it got that way? Here's how.
Yeah, I suppose. Once they get up and walk away, though, you're still standing there talking to yourself.
Well, Jamie, one of the things you might try is a common reference point that involves humor. Maybe this individual watches The Daily Show.
Right. No.
John Stewart.
I live in, I live in Arizona. I work at a Mennonite nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
So on a regular basis, I'm surrounded by a lot of conservatives, Republicans, and very religious people. And it's just an interesting thing. And I'm not sure I'm not sure if this really does fall to Professor Lakoff or not. But on a regular basis, it's okay for them to tell me their politics and religion.
Right.
But as a progressive atheist, it's not okay for me to talk about it in polite company.
Well, there's a question of what it means to be an atheist. There are many different conceptions of God, most of which are not accepted by Christians. And, the ones that Christians tend to accept are two of the four basic classes. One of them is God as a person, usually a strict father, and two, God as the infinite, the all-knowing, the first cause, the all-good, etc. But they usually don't accept God as being part of the physical world, as being everywhere in the physical world, and being everywhere in your relationship to other people. That is a very common view of God in the Western world and outside the Western world. And, I'm not, if you view those things as sacred, I'm not sure you're an atheist. You're just an atheist on a couple of metaphors.
I do not believe in any deity.
But what is it? Is it? Deity is a word that suggests some sort of a view of God as a person.
Or a sentient.
Or a sentient, rather than God as the physical world and the world of relationships to other people. If you view that as sacred, that's another view of God. I mean, that's one of the views around the world. And, I'm not trying to convince you that you shouldn't be, that you should be religious or anything of that sort. I'm just saying that if you hold certain things sacred, like the world itself and like your connections to other people, then that fits a certain religion without a sentient being who is all-powerful.
But then what do you call that?
There are all kinds of names for it.
Yeah, I'm certainly not a Christian.
In Judaism, it's Kabbalism. There are different names. There's what is the Christian name for it? I'm blanking on it.
Is it the Gnostics?
No, there's a technical name for it in Christianity. and I've blanked on it.
Well, there's agnostic.
Anyway, no.
Okay.
Without getting off on that tangent, what my concern is, what my frustration kind of twofold is, one of them is that it's okay to shove conservative religious politics and beliefs out into polite company, but it's not okay to put progressive, non-secular things into polite company.
Well, but I
and when you try and talk to somebody about it, they just shut you down. And
well,
I've even tried what you said. Humor I've tried. I've tried morals. I've tried. They just tell me that I'm out of line for discussing politics at all.
Well, talk about morality. I believe in what's right.
But how do you...
Jamie, I want to move along, but I thank you for raising a very interesting question today. Appreciate your call.
Thank you both for your time.
You bet. 888-5-PETER-B, if you'd like to join the conversation with Professor George Lakoff. We're talking about the new book. It is a progressive's handbook called Thinking Points. And, Professor, I wanted to take a couple of minutes here to talk about the 12 traps that you enumerate in the book, because I think there's some interesting information here. What's the focus of the traps or the context of this idea?
Well, they're traps that progressives regularly fall into. One trap, a very common one, is to assume that people vote on the basis of issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to give a list of policies and programs when, in fact, people vote on other grounds. They vote on the basis of values, trust, authenticity, how well, what communication is like, and so on, whether a candidate connects with you. That's, a very important trap not to fall into. Another is the assumption that if you just tell people the facts, they'll reason to the right conclusion. Utterly ridiculous. That's, the rationalist trap. Another one is that if you just look at the polls will tell you exactly what to do. Well, not necessarily. The polls don't necessarily tell you what to do for many, many reasons. There are all a lot of traps for that progressives fall into, and it's important that they avoid them. For example, just negating the other side's frames, taking their language and saying, no, saying, I'm for gay marriage, or I'm for abortion. Right? As soon as you do that, you've taken their frame and their issue, and you've helped them.
You have one here that I love, the misunderestimating trap. That's based on a mangled phrase of our president, that you shouldn't misunderestimate him.
Very much so. Think of all the times you've cursed George Bush.
I don't have time.
Right? Every time you curse George Bush, that means he has accomplished something that's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That means he's been competent. People think he's sort of dumb and incompetent. The fact is, he's neither dumb nor incompetent. He has gotten a huge number of his things done. And you have cursed them all.
And let's mention number 11, the policy speak trap. And this is one of the problems that Bill Clinton had, but he overcame it with charisma and Bubba talk.
Right. And as soon as you just go in and say, well, I'm for the prescription drug benefit, and you go through all the technical ease, people aren't going to understand you.
Mm-hmm. Back to the phones we go. Hal is on the line from Coos Bay, Oregon, listening to KBBR. Welcome, Hal.
Hey, how you doing?
Great today. Thanks for your call.
Welcome to the left coast.
I love it here. I'm pretty comfortable here.
Yeah, me too. I was thinking that possibly the term that you were looking for a little while ago and that would have worked for that lady, because she sounded like she is very what I was going to say, and that is compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that the Republicans, with their Orwellian manner of putting everything on their own terms, when he came out before he was elected with compassion and conservatism, I thought of that as an oxymoron.
Well, remember what he meant by it. He actually was interviewed and said very clearly what he meant by it, which is that it is compassionate to get rid of social programs so that people are not given things they don't earn, but rather have developed discipline to both be moral and to earn their living. and that is the most compassionate thing he thought he could do.
And that's why there are no tax cuts for the poor and middle class.
Right.
Which is exactly the opposite of what I think compassion is. It's just like with the abortion issue. I would much rather have compassionate doctors and nurses available for my daughter or whatever when a situation came up, and for having the passion. I think of Christianity as almost a passion, about compassion, but kind of like leaves compassion in the dust, you know.
But
and
you
I think social programs are a strong part of compassion. I think that lady, if she's working with Mennonite people, that would be a way of getting the point across maybe more than politics.
Well, you know, what I should have said to her in addition is this. If you're talking to Republican conservatives, very often they actually have a progressive part of their lives. And the way you find that out is you ask, what do you care about? What are you committed to? What do you feel responsible for in terms of helping the world or helping other people? And often they'll tell you, and you'll be surprised. And it's very important, instead of coming back at them on a particular issue.
Right, is to work with them.
To work with them.
Hal, thanks a lot for your call today. Good to hear from you in Coos Bay.
All right, thanks.
All right, and keep listening and call me again. We'll take a break and return with Professor George Lakoff. The new book is a guidebook, a handbook called Thinking Points, Communicating Our American Values and Vision, $10 at retail. It's a must for every progressive activist. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Paid for by Jeff Denham for State Senate.
Hey, honey, you know about our Senator Jeff Denham?
Oh, yeah. He's an almond grower and owns a produce container business.
He sure makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Look here. Jeff Denham authored Jessica's Law legislation requiring satellite tracking of convicted sex predators.
Well, Denham also wrote a bill increasing flood protection, fought against the tractor tax, and he strongly opposes government taking our private property to build housing developments.
Did you see this?
No, what?
Senator Denham received the California Teachers' highest award for opposing education funding cuts.
Wow.
And I really liked his vote prohibiting smoking when small children are riding in a car seat.
The thing is about Denham, he knows what it means to work the land. He's fighting to protect our water rights and preserve our farmland for future generations.
You know what else about Jeff Denham?
What?
He doesn't ask whether it's a Democrat or a Republican idea.
That's right. He only asks, is it the right thing to do?
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Not a very pleasant good afternoon to you. Happy Friday, everybody. Let's get you home safely. Getting word of a crash in the King City area. This would be a little bit sketchy on the location here, but they're calling it CRG 15 at CRG 16. Don't have the exact name of the roadway there, but looks like a white Ford Ranger versus another vehicle. Do have a person trapped. Monterey Fire Department being called out to the scene there. Highway 1 in Monterey. This is at Sycamore Canyon. We have a brown van completely on fire. Looks like it's right near the turnout there, and a Monterey Fire Department being called out to the scene there, and a lot of folks hitting the brake lights. Check out the activity. Southbound 1 before Morrissey in Santa Cruz, we have a looks like a motorhome blocking the second lane from the left. the Toyota Avalon with an EPA estimated 31 miles per gallon on the highway and all the extras you desire. Avalon, where luxury meets fuel efficiency. I'm Mike O'Shea with traffic on KRXA AM 540.
This traffic report has been paid for by Stephen Brady, hotel union member of Local Unite Here number 483. To encourage all listeners, their families, and friends to join the union boycott of Monterey Bay Travel Lodge until absentee owner Kelso Sue signs a fair contract for his workers. Power to the people.
In the chapter called The Art of Arguments, a successful argument posed by Senator Barack Obama of Illinois on the death tax, as the Republicans call it, the repeal of the estate tax, which he properly reframes as the Paris Hilton tax break. And I wanted to ask your thoughts because he announced over the weekend, he formally said what a lot of people have been speculating, that he is thinking about running for president. Bob Herbert weighs in the New York Times today saying, wait a minute. I think for many, as an alternative to Hillary Rodham Clinton, he seems extremely attractive without deep examination. But as a speaker, I think embodies a lot of the values that you talk about. He does talk about values much more than issues. He gave a speech that I attended in Washington in June, and I was very impressed. He's a great storyteller. He understands the power of a narrative thread. He brings average people into his speeches, and he wraps it all together with pitches about values. In 30 minutes, he did not mention one policy or one piece of legislation, but he talked in very broad, progressive strokes about values.
He is amazing. He is one of the best speakers I've ever heard. I mean, just absolutely astonishing. I've never, it's hard to find anybody with more charisma than that.
Mm-hmm.
And, and he talks about the empathy deficit. Very important idea that people don't care enough.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, someone coming out there and can say the empathy deficit in public, be understood and explain in simple stories what he means by it.
Mm-hmm.
In that thing on the estate tax, he did something brilliant. He pointed out, without actually saying anything technical and so on, he just said it straight out. Basically, when you are giving a tax cut to wealthy people like Paris Hilton, what you're really doing is transferring ordinary wealth to them.
Yeah.
You're giving them other people's money. You're giving them taxpayers' money. And when taxpayers' money should be going to those people in society who need it, what you're doing is taking away money from those who need it and giving it away to those who haven't earned it. They didn't do money and anything to earn that money for the estate tax,
mm-hmm.
and don't need it.
And it's a powerful corrective to what the Republicans play to and feed on, which is the aspiration of every American to have an estate tax problem.
Yeah, right. Everybody would love to have an estate tax problem, but this is, what he's doing is simply making the corrective. He's pointing out that this is basically taking money both away from you, if you're paying taxes, and taking money away from people who need it and giving it to people who have not earned it,
mm-hmm.
and don't need it.
Anthony in Tucson, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Professor Lakoff.
Yes, my comment is I hear a lot of time where politicians and professors and religious leaders always seem to say they're conservatives, but if you ask them the question, do they believe in freedom of religion, and they tell you yes. But then they quote the Bible to win their argument. One who believes in freedom of religion never quotes the Bible because he just gives up his right to believe in freedom of religion. And if politicians use that, they wouldn't have this issue of gay marriages and abortion. And that's my comment. I wish people knew that, but they don't use that. To say if you're conservative, stick within your own morals and your own principles and don't try to push them on other people, because if you do, you're giving up your freedom of religion.
All right, what's your comment, Professor?
Well, that's not what they mean by freedom of religion. It's very interesting to see exactly what fundamentalist preachers mean by freedom of religion, like Jerry Falwell, for example, and Dobson. They're very clear. Freedom, they keep talking about freedom to practice. They keep using practice. Practice your religion. Now, if you're an evangelical, it is required of you in your religion that you spread the good news. That is a requirement. If you're a fundamentalist, it is required that you believe in the literal truth of the Bible as the fundamentalist preachers describe it. Therefore, it is their requirement to spread the good news of the truth as they believe it. And freedom of religion means that to them. Now, the Constitution also has an anti-establishment clause. It says that the government shall establish no religion. And what that has to do with a different aspect of freedom. You may be free to walk down the street, but you're not free to knock someone else and tie them down. That is, freedom implies not imposing on the freedom of others. And when you have that definition of freedom of religion, namely the freedom to evangelize, with public sanction, what you're doing is imposing on other people's freedom of religion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what you're talking about.
Thank you for that call, Anthony. I appreciate you checking in from Tucson today. About a minute and a half remaining, Professor. I wanted to get your thoughts. Have the Democrats and other progressives, in your view, learned from the mistakes of the past and some of the ideas that you have articulated? And if the Democrats win back control of the House and or the Senate this year, will it be partly due to sharpening their skills at language and framing?
They're getting a little bit better at it. I heard Al Gore today, and he was so much better at it than he was 6 years ago. There are some people who are better at it. They've learned some things. They've got a long way to go.
Mm-hmm.
A real long way to go. And if they happen to win, and think about what Nancy Pelosi said over the weekend. She said, this is just a referendum on the Republicans. I would be satisfied to have them just be lame ducks. That's absurd. You know, the point is to convey to people what your vision is. What does it mean to be a progressive? What morally does it mean? Politically, economically, what does it mean to be a progressive? Why should people be progressives positively? What's wrong with conservatism? Exactly what's wrong with conservatism? You know, this is not just a referendum on a particular, you know, administration, where if you get rid of those particular guys, as you will in 2008, you're just going to get other guys with the same views.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. George Lakoff, thank you for spending. For whatever legal advice you need, go to Lawyers on Duty. Whether it's for your estate planning, divorce, custody, probate, or a living trust, Lawyers on Duty has experienced attorneys with realistic fees. There's no need to go anywhere else. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available, knowledgeable, and affordable. Located in the courtyard behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, Monterey. Lawyers on Duty open every weekday 9 to 5. Call Lawyers on Duty 375-5100. 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
Stop searching. We've got what you're looking for. Sundays, 3 to 5, The Billy Sunshine Show with Pilar.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Fierce wind continues to fan the flames in Southern California, where the wildfire in Riverside County has already scorched 40 square miles.
Firefighting from the air, says CBS News reporter Stephen Kaufman, is difficult at best.
Flying a firefighting helicopter in gusty wind conditions is not easy and can be downright dangerous. But Frank Podesta, who's in charge of air operations in the fight against the fast-moving wildfire in California's Riverside County, says so far his pilots are able to stay aloft.
Everything is staying pretty much under 30 knots for our pilots, and so everything is flying safely right now. We get stronger winds, then we'd be looking at possibly grounding some of the aircraft.
Because fires create their own weather, pilots need to watch out for sudden updrafts and downdrafts. Stephen Kaufman, CBS News, Banning, California.
The reward for information on who started this fire has quadrupled to $400,000.
We are searching for the arsonists. We will find them. And we will punish them.
Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, it's not only arson, it's murder, with four firefighters dead and a fifth critically burned. In Baghdad, U.S. forces have been on the move hunting for a kidnapped American soldier. The man's Iraqi family issued an appeal to his captors today, asking them to show him mercy as a fellow Muslim. U.S. military officials confirmed yet another casualty, bringing the American death toll for the month to 97. Vice President Dick Cheney gave a positive response when an interviewer asked him if dunking a suspected terrorist in water might save American lives. He said, it's a no-brainer for me.
I'm Mark Noller at the White House. Though it sounded like Cheney was endorsing the use of waterboarding when interrogating terrorist suspects, spokesman Tony Snow says no way. Are you kidding, he asked reporters. You think Dick Cheney's going to slip up on something like this, said Snow. He said the administration does not torture and does not discuss interrogation techniques.
There was a brief scare late today at the New York office of former President Bill Clinton when a staffer opened an envelope that contained a white powdery substance. The building was cordoned off, but police and the Secret Service determined the powder was harmless. Mr. Clinton was not there at the time. In the case of those Duke University lacrosse players charged with rape, CBS News correspondent Jim Crisula reports there was a surprise revelation during a court hearing today.
Even though it's been more than 7 years.